Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Another Crab Feast for that ass. I was hoping you'd jump back on right at the end, Jay Larson. Sickle, you didn't let me down.
What'd you do, train yesterday?
I got a lot of angst, as you know, prior to this recording. I had to get out, and man, that felt good. I don't think I've ever wooed prior to saying another Tuesday. Another Crab Feast for that ass. But I've always said, and I will continue to always say, no matter how many episodes are left, it's good to touch your pitch.
Good to have it touched, baby. And first of all, every week you woo this entire audience, baby. No.
I'm like, have I not heard myself do that?
Oh, you woo them with the melodic sounds of your laughter and your stories, Ryan. Hey, everybody. Feaster Nation. Jay Larson here. Great to be here with you guys. Two left. They're going to be doozies. Doozies on Tuesdays.
Doozies on Tuesdays.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media, Jay Larson Comedian on Facebook. I recently saw that. I've always thought it was Jay Larson Comedy.
Comedian?
It's Comedian Jay Larson.
You remember when
changed it on me or something?
You know where they did that?
Where?
When we went to South by Southwest with Funny or Die. Remember Facebook was there?
Yeah, I remember.
And we met with them. They did that to me. I didn't know that either. I thought I was Ryan Sickler official or something like that.
What do you mean something like that? You said it. You were adamant about saying it.
I thought that's what they told me I was. And then now when you go on the app, that's where I saw it. It says, when you go to the fan page app, it says at Ryan Sickler. Comedian. That's
yeah, mine
what I
says
am
comedian.
Well.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You guys can find me. Some dates coming up: January 3rd through the 5th. I'll be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at Dr. Grin's. And then the last weekend,
not a real doctor,
but fucking doctor of laughter, baby.
That's true.
And then the 31st of the 2nd, I'll be at Magoobies out there in Maryland. So all you feasters out there in Baltimore area, come on out and see me.
Get out the Timonium. Go see your boy.
What's that, like 30 minutes? Because how am I going to go to Mama's on the Half Shell?
Yeah,
you have to go out for like an afternoon lunch or something.
About that these days,
have to go out for lunch.
Yeah, if you go for lunch, yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna have to.
That's what Josh and I were just there. We literally ate so much seafood we got sick, and we took an Uber.
Yeah.
To Mama's on the Half Shell and got some more fucking seafood.
Oh my god!
We had peel and eats, everything. Shannon was with us. We're like, hey, before we leave, we're going to run into Mama's and go upstairs and sit there.
Oh, my God. That place is the best. Everything about that. Ambiance, food, neighborhood, name it.
All it
checks every single box. It makes you want to live in that neighborhood.
It does. Canton's really come
a long way. So cool. So I'm going to be at those two locations. That's it. That's it for me. I'm going to just talk about my podcast now, which is coming out January 8th. I'm going to do a pre-ep on January 1st on this feed about the new podcast. And then the first official episode will be January 8th, and that's going to be on vinyl with Mark Maron and Jimmy Greenwood. And then I have a great episode.
Who is Jimmy Greenwood?
Jimmy Greenwood is this guy who was an entrepreneur, and when he was graduating USC, there was like a warehouse in downtown by USC where you could buy vinyl records. So he started buying them, and his dad had like...
From the warehouse.
And then he set up stands. His dad had stores and put them in there and started like doing that. And then when he graduated...
I'm just going to keep asking. So he set up...
He
his
set
dad
up
had
racks,
stores that
like
weren't
department
record
stores,
but he would put that over there.
Yes,
I see.
And so when he graduated college, he opened up this record shop in Long Beach called Licorice Pizza. And it became not just like a record shop, like it was a head shop. There were couches. People come in to listen to music. And it became like you know, like a way of life. And then he opened, eventually expanded to 36 stores in all of Southern California.
Damn.
Yeah.
How do you even know who this guy is?
Friend of a friend. You know, he knew I wanted to do this episode on vinyl, and he's like, you know, you should talk to. And I end up sitting down in this guy in his, like, garage that's converted to, like, a listening room. He's got, like, 7,000 records in there.
All around.
Yeah, and he's the nicest guy. And then we started just, like, talking about life, and he's all about his family. So he had 36 shops, sold them all, sold it, opened Oz shops, you know, Oz stores.
AHS.
Yep.
He owns those?
He built those
good
all out.
Lord.
Then he sold them. I go, then what'd you do? He goes,
who bought those?
I don't know.
Ooze? Ooze and Oz?
He goes, I go, what'd you do now? He goes,
myself,
he said he retired. I go, you retired?
How old is he?
Well, no, this was then. I go, why'd you retire? He goes, for 5 years. I had kids and I didn't want them to grow up without me being there. So for the first 5 years, that's what he did. And I'm like, you're the best. He goes, yeah. And then I start a little internet company with a couple other buddies of mine.
It's called Google.
Yeah. And he goes, now I'm retired and I go to Coachella every year.
How old is he?
He's like 65 years old.
All right. I was going to say, that's good. I feel like I could get there to retire.
Yeah. He's a super cool guy. Anyway, that's like, I'm trying to make it be a comedian, then someone else who might not be a comedian. The storytelling episode I'm doing with Ira Glass and Dan Harmon. So you get Ira Glass who curates storytelling and then Dan Harmon who creates stories. So it's going to be some really fun episodes. I'm doing one on playing cards with Justin Willman, who's an amazing magician who uses playing cards. And then my brother Adam, who finds playing cards, has been collecting them for like the last 15 years and has this crazy collection of playing cards he finds, like single ones in alleys and shit. And he thinks they mean things. So they're going to be interesting episodes. And then the full-length versions of every interview, because I'm doing about an hour interview with everybody, it will be available at my Patreon page. So you can sign up there and get about 3 episodes a week if you want to sign up for the Patreon, which is going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to you guys checking out. It's called The Through Line, and it will be available at Starburn Industries starting January 1st. First full episode, January 8th. Ryan!
Ryan Sickler on all social media except for Facebook fan page where I'm Ryan Sickler Comedian.
You know it, baby.
RyanSickler.com. Look, I am going to tell you about my new podcast, but I'm going to keep telling you about my new album, Get a Hold of Yourself. It's available now. And to all of you out there who've bought it, streamed it, rated it, reviewed it, thank you for all of your help. You have no idea what it means, but it really helps to go over there and hit that 5-star button and give it a really funny review.
Heard there was a 4-star out there.
There was a 1-star, no 4.
Woo!
Somebody dropped a 1. Like
one
I said,
star,
I feel like I might know that person. You know, we hit number 1 on iTunes. We were the number 1 stand-up on Billboard. It's still on the top of the iTunes chart. I mean, we're almost a month in, and it was number 4 last night. So get it. You can get it on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora. Stream it on Sirius. Create your Ryan Sickler channels, and you can get it anywhere you listen to comedy. So thank you for doing that, and I love seeing a nod from you guys when I know it's a feaster out there. FTCF Tuesday and Hey Hey Playa shirts. Enough
still
of you,
cranking, man.
Yeah, enough of you bought them. I did the math. I feel like it's... It said 14 days, and we're pre-recording this last night, so I feel like December 26th, it might.
So,
if enough of you buy, I think it'll renew till the 31st, and then end of year, it's officially done. So,
done.
Get your hoodies, get your tees, get it while you can. And if you're out there listening and you haven't, subscribe to this podcast. Follow it on social media. We're going to leave everything up. It will always be there. You can have access to this show, as you should. I mean, we're proud of this show. This show shouldn't go anywhere. It should live there. And
enough people tell us how they go back and listen to past eps, it'll always be there to go back and listen, you know?
Yeah. So anyone that comes to The Through Line or my new podcast, The Honeydew, those fans that are coming in, you can always refer them back to the feast
for,
you
know, sure.
And you should. And mentioning my new show, The Honeydew at Your Mom's House Studios, I will begin that. I will do an episode on January 2nd. Is that? Yeah,
that's a
Wednesday. I'm sliding down the calendar a little bit to Wednesdays.
Hump day, baby.
Yep. And, we're going to have video. The way I've been told it'll work is the audio will go up on Wednesday, video goes up on Thursday. So you'll get to hear it and then watch it if you feel like it. However you like to get it, you can get it. We're going to be basically highlighting the lowlights. It's going to be a storytelling podcast going back to those times in your life that, you know, weren't so great, and then how you move forward with that. So very excited to get that
going. What if
someone
hasn't moved forward?
They won't be on the honey.
They won't be on the honey, baby.
You gotta get your ass up and plow ahead.
You can check them out on the Cantaloupe.
Yeah, they will. Somebody tweeted that and goes, "Oh man, somebody brought this at work, and all that's left is the honeydew." And I was like, "You know, that's cantaloupe, right? Do you see it?
No,
it's cantaloupe on a stick too, like lollipop."
But someone emails and be like, "Fuck you, Sickler. I love honeydew."
Yeah, I know. I've
one person.
There are definitely a handful of you out there who like honeydew, and I feel like those might be the people that I should probably be fucking with, to be honest with you. If you like the honeydew, you should be the one. So, yeah, that's everything that's going on here at the Crab Feast podcast currently and what's coming up for both of us.
It's going to be exciting, man.
It is going to be very exciting. And, again, you don't have to be sad. This is going to be here. You can go listen whenever you want. We're going to keep the feed up. You don't have to download them and save them. We're going to keep the fan page up. Whatever you got. I mean, and you already have such a, you know, I did Joey Diaz's podcast, and I was welcomed very warmly into their not Joey's fan page like we have ours, but the fans' fan page, created. And they were like, "Welcome, share all your successes, share everything you want in here." And I was like, "Man, you guys are great." And I looked at the number, and I think there's just under 1,000 of them, and I think ours is close to 800. I mean, you guys are the shit, man. You guys are really the shit. And I've so honored and so happy and thrilled and glad to have had every single one of you guys on board. And, you know, we say it all the time. All the comedians come back. They were Crab Feast. Feasters at my show. So I don't care how many new podcasts I do from here on out. I will always welcome a Fuck the Crab Feast at my shows.
Listen, man, New Kids on the Block broke up years ago. I'm still a fan. NKOTB for life, baby. You know what I mean?
I just got out the action figures.
Man. Well, it's for real. So we have two great episodes left. So let's not forget that we still have those, and let's enjoy them.
Yeah, this one's a good one, and then we got a little something in store for the final episode.
This one's, I mean, out of all his episodes, this one's probably his worst.
No doubt.
But we didn't have a choice. You guys asked for him, so we had to bring him in. You know what I mean? And it was tough to record with all the vape smoke in the room, but... You know what I mean?
it's like podcasting with a dragon. That's what it's like.
I mean, we cleared a lot of extra room under the table to get his four legs in there. We did a lot. So
we put down some trash bags on the table for those angry tears so we don't mess up any electronics.
Listen, hold on for this episode because I'm not saying they're angry tears. But there might have been some tears in this episode.
I don't know if they were real either. Let's be honest.
I'm taking some acting
classes. A little bit of forced tears in which he admits. So, all
right, y'all. We're excited to have him back. You asked for him. You got him. He goes by two names. He goes by Josh Adam Myers, and he goes by Jimmy Josh Adam Myers.
Four legs, three DUIs, two passports,
and a partridge.
Direct from the Channel 1 News. I hear the chopper circling up. There it is upside down. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Josh Adams, Josh Adam Myers.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast.
She's there sitting next to you, and I'm the one that's making you deny. Hush, I just died in your zoom tonight. Must have been a something you zoomed. What's the other one? This is a Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gonna have me. Y'all can go and trust that. Every Tuesday, you're gonna have a ski move. Now, never mind.
Not only have you appeared the most on the Crab Feast, but you also have set the record for most items on the Crab Feast table.
How many do I have?
You got a phone, keys, two LaCroix, a glass of empty water that he spilt everywhere, two vapes.
He's got as many vapes as he does legs.
No, I just have
this
two.
Is my CBD vape right here. This is my calcium vape
it
right here.
It sounds like
this
our impersonation of you, right?
This is my B12 vape right
yeah,
here.
I'm going to tell that person to go fuck yourself.
We're going
to
talk about that.
That's why I don't work with them people no more.
That's
why I don't work with them people no more.
So I'm back. We're back at the show in Baltimore, which we'll talk about a little, but this...
I hear him talk. I'm over here doing shit, but I can hear him because you can hear him from every fucking where. Talking to my brothers about me. He's like, your brother's whole philosophy is like, that's why I don't work with them babies. The same shit he's telling them. I told him to go fuck himself.
Dude, we had a call like 2 nights ago. You said all of that. Everything. You said, you mentioned crab 19 times.
I talked you off the ledge.
He goes, the words that he goes, fuck himself. That's his number one phrase. Crab is number two. Any sort of crab discussion.
Ever notice it's always fuck himself? Ever notice that? There's never the problems in this industry and everywhere else are fucking guys. That's the problem. It's, you never hear me.
I've never heard you say that. You tell her to go fuck herself.
Ever.
That is true.
Never
I'll
once.
Give you that. But then also what I brought, which is more important than anything, are incredible stories for you guys to shit on.
Well, I wish we had time for it. We just don't.
I was waiting for that to happen, of course.
And it just did.
That might have been the record of how fast you got that out, too.
I mean, we'll see. We don't know how long this intro we're going to have for you. We're going to record after this.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can find me, guys, you know it. At Josh Adam Myers, spelled M-E-Y-E-R-S, like the lemon.
You look at
like
the look
pliers.
At his hair all slick back. He's been slicking it back a lot.
It looks a little nicer today. Like he dressed up. I mean, I say
he did
dressed
not dress up.
Up.
I mean, I didn't dress up for this. I'm wearing my Channel One Chopper shirt.
The fact this that is, I think slicking your hair back for you after I spent a weekend with you, it looks dressed up.
Did I look that bad in Baltimore? I didn't look that
your
bad.
Your hair didn't look. This looks nice.
Thank you very much.
His hair higher up on the top.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
What he looks like. The picture in the chill poster is a really good caption of how I picture Josh Adam Myers.
Thank you very much. At Josh Adam Myers on all social media, joshadammyers.com. Also, the website for my podcast.
We're not doing any podcast plugs, unfortunately.
No, we are doing all of them. The 500podcast.com, guys. The 500podcast.com.
This guy could have had a podcast so long ago, been promoting all these years, and the poor son of a bitch just got the next one. Wait until right to the end.
Nothing gives him more pleasure.
How long have we been telling him to get a podcast? He was like, you know, I'm going to do it.
He tried. Y'all ended?
I better get my shit together. I gotta tell the feasters before y'all pull the plug.
He doesn't just tell the feasters. He takes over our feeds.
What's going on, Rolling Stone? I'm just waiting on the list, man. I'm waiting on them. I got the equipment, Ryan. I got everything you said. I got the XLR cables. I got the mic socks.
Well, this podcast is extremely important to me, and it took this amount of time because
they didn't have the list ready.
No, the list was ready. I just had to. I didn't know I wanted
to
do it.
That's a relatively new list.
Well, they did it in originally came out in 2002, then 2008 they updated it, and then they updated it again in 2012. And
12 is the last time.
12
was updated?
Is the last time, and maybe like two albums came out.
Ago. You know what's going to be nice when they update that season of Sizz. You know what I'm saying, man?
You know what I'm saying, baby? I just said to him the other night.
Rolling Stone would be like,
nah. It's
going
to go one of two ways. I don't know. I agree with them. It's going to go one of two ways. Either they're going to lean into it and embrace it, or they're going to say, hey, you have to stop. But I don't think they'll say you have to stop. There's a lot of people that do like lists on like APIs, top 100 films and things like that. I mean, I guess they could maybe try to come in, but what's your argument?
I'm going to be straight up with you. I'm going to do my darndest to make sure they do.
That's the most fucked up thing. All I want is your love. Out of the 12, this is the 12th time I've been on the podcast. I think it's the 11th or the 12th.
Who knows? You got to ask.
It doesn't
him.
Make a difference. But all I've wanted is your love.
This is
so
the truth,
bad.
By the way, what he said.
All I've wanted is your love.
He didn't give
since
a shit
the
about
moment
me.
I met you.
All I want
and you know what's
is
great?
Your love.
You know what's great, Jay, is that because I've listened. Before this was coming up, I listened to all of my Crab Feasts, and it was like, you were so mean to me. And then it's like, you start loosening up. And then it gets.
It has nothing to do with me being loose.
Oh, you still don't like me?
No, I always have appreciated your existence.
Can't say it.
always appreciate
you. That's all the time we've got, guys.
Not even appreciated you. Appreciated
my, my existence. I mean, that's true of anybody. I live and breathe. He appreciates.
That's what's the best. That is true of anybody. It makes him no more special than anybody you don't even know.
I will tell you this. Josh Adam Myers is a charming son of a bitch. And I would have no... That would happen, too. Rolling Stone would be like, nah, we're going to... You can't be doing this. And they would...
Come on.
They'd be in a room with him for like 20 minutes and be like, all right, we'll fucking let him do it.
You know, I was...
I mean, after the fourth vape, I'm thinking we got to give him a shot.
That's funny. They're not, like, first of all, I know that, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not saying I don't know, but, I mean, all agents at William Morris are, like, trying.
They try to keep me.
They try to keep me, baby. I got caught. I'm still
Chantel,
here.
Chantel, I got a new podcast.
Chantel, I got a new podcast. It's called The 500. Go to the website. I just started it. Wait, this is the last episode? Let's just plug.
Look, I'm starting with the last episode on the next to last episode of The Graph.
He's been waiting on this, man.
No, I really haven't. I just thought about this sitting here because I did an episode. I did an episode of the 500.
Jay, you're going to do one once we find a record for you.
I think I'm like, 499, episode two.
He did the second one. Yeah, so I'll tell the fans what it is and then we can get to this. So it's called The 500 with Josh Adam Myers, where I go through Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. This is arguably the greatest recorded music in the history of mankind, and it's a record book club. We're starting at 500 and going down to number one over the next 9.61 years. Each week, me and my guest, I give them a record. They have a week with the record. They listen to it, and I've broken it down. And then we just talk about it. We talk about the facts from the record, talk about the meaning of songs, the story behind the album. And then I ask them questions around the meanings of the songs.
I think we get it.
And I'm just, fuck you. This is my fucking time.
I think we get what's going on here.
This is my time.
Pretty sure we get it.
This is my corner.
By the way, this is.
I'm going Goonies on this motherfucker.
I'm pretty sure he's read the promo for this so many times that is pretty much the promo for the show. I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's the pitch. It's the pitch is that it's just all it is. All it is. And this is why I care about it. And this is why I waited, man. It's just like if you listen to all of my. If you listen to all of my episodes of The Crab Feast, you hear that I have changed as a person as we have come along. And now
true. You don't even need to listen to those episodes. You could listen to someone else listen to it because they could hear it. Okay, babe?
But it's I'm having such a blast doing this, sitting down. I've already done episodes with Jim Jeffries doing Stone Roses. Bill Burr did White Blood Cells by the White Stripes. I have Wanda Sykes coming up. I have Tom Segura coming up. I have Bert Kreischer coming up. I have Sinbad doing Albert King. And it's for me, it's something that like what I loved about the Crab Feast and what I loved about podcasting is that one of my issues in life has been talking to people.
Drugs.
Well, that's funny.
That's what? I mean, that's the biggest. That was the biggest.
Other than that, there's a litany of small shit that falls under and directly because of the drugs.
The drugs.
Fucking fuckers.
Under that umbrella of drugs, there's about...
Now, DUIs for me are a subcategory. I'd like to say I just had one, but I've tripled in that category.
That's...
And listen, drugs was an issue. My two front legs.
These two front legs are a motherfucker. You should see, I got to walk sideways on DUIs. I just shuffle down the line sideways. Like, you got to walk straight, man. Like,
sir, you got to walk straight, sir.
I got to walk straight with four legs.
I'm like, I can't just do one line. Can I get a double line? Let me get a double wide line.
I need a double wide line. Like one of those car parking fucking lines.
Sorry, officer. I meant cocaine, officer.
But I've changed as a person.
You sure
and,
have.
And
man.
The podcast came out of me.
Oh, we're still
me.
On the podcast?
Yeah, because it's my last.
It's 500 seconds on the 500.
So if I can, it's really important to me, guys. So I just want to say this to the Feasters because I love each and every one of you guys, man. I got to experience how great the Feasters are when me and Ryan were in
you
Baltimore.
You told me right before we turned on, fuck the Feasters. Remember
that
when he said
so,
that? They can go fuck themselves. I'm pretty sure is what he said.
No, I said you could. I was.
Who's Sandy Danto? Can we get Sandy Danto in here?
I got that Baltimore twang. No, but I finally got to see and appreciate the love from all of them, and they've been so great. And so this is like, if I could just do any request from the Feasters, because I'm about to give you the last of my fucked up stories that you guys can enjoy and we can make fun of. But it's just, I just want all those Feasters, man, that fucking rep me, that have loved the episodes that I've done, just please do me a favor. Go to the 500 with Josh Adam Myers on whatever way you get that podcast, and just leave a comment and a rate and review and subscribe to it, man. I don't give a fuck if you don't listen to it, but just do me that, because I love you.
That's
guys
cool,
so
man.
Much.
That's good to know what you want is. You don't give a fuck if people even listen. That's how much I love it.
I want
it,
them
babe.
To listen.
That's how much I love it.
I want them to listen so bad. I want everybody to be involved in this discussion, because we'd be discussing the greatest music in the history of mankind.
According to Rolling Stone. So it just includes rock and roll. It
no,
doesn't
that's not
really
true.
Oh, it's got not, classical music in there?
Well, first of all, classical music wasn't.
Does it have bluegrass?
First of all, yes. First of all, classical music wasn't recorded, because you never got a recording of Beethoven's doing his Ninth Symphony when that came out.
Well,
so,
let's ask him right now.
Beethoven! Ludwig! Get your ass out of here! Baby. Bring your hearing aid!
He probably in here. Somebody go get Ludwig.
Hey, Ludwig! But that just means it would mean the world to me. And,
yeah, okay.
And I'm going to have everybody that you guys want on, and we're just going to talk about music, art, and life, and how it all intersects. And so thanks. That's my time, everybody.
Thanks, man. Good for coming out.
I do want to say, I do want to go back and say, he did get to experience what it was like when the Feasters fucking come out after a show and do the meet and greets. Like, we, you know what I mean? And he was like, holy shit. And I was like, yeah, man, this is something Jay and I have been seeing over the years. And it's fucking awesome that you guys come out. You're so nice. We had the one guy who wept. He came up and openly wept.
Joe Radke. I can't say his name, but man, that like touched my heart, Jay. Like, I had never experience. I like, because I know as a fan of the Crab Feast, like, because I really am a fan. We've all
you
talked
are
about
for sure.
I'm active on the message boards. I'm active on the private group. I just love them so much. What you guys have created is not just some, you know, a way to help you to, you know, build your careers and find an audience, but man, you really have gotten people through difficult times. And to see somebody come up and say it, and then just go, you know, like, dude, your episodes in particular are the best, because I know my life isn't as bad as yours, so I'm doing okay. And I think that's
But any guy who's, you know, you're kind of a magnet to crying.
There
you know
it
what
is.
I mean?
Okay. Like, people come on, let it out.
I had a guy cry in Tulsa, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was
just awesome. It was
awesome. Beautiful, and like, I
the
hugged him.
The Feasters are the shit. They came out. They fucking went nuts. You know, I was glad you got to see that, because they're just good people. They're smart.
The
they're
best.
Funny.
We did
they
a
are
show
respectful.
On, we did a show on Friday night at the Ice House, and it was me, you,
right.
and Carl D. And there was at least,
Carl D. Crush.
I'd say like eight Feasters that came out, and they were
like
just
eight or ten
so
of them, And that's
supportive.
A small little room. Wearing Feaster gear, coming out, hanging out. They were fucking awesome.
It's the best. And so that's why, like, they've been asking me for a podcast, and, you know, I fuck you. I hate you so much.
Listen, man, they've been asking me, man. I should tell them. They've been asking.
Wait, did you even say anything about your podcast yet?
It's called The 500 with Josh Adamize.
How long have you been recording so far, honestly?
15 minutes. 15
and we've minutes. Got, listen, man, this is the final one. We're going deep on for these people, man.
Awesome, man. Well, that's going to be good. I'm definitely going to check it out. That's for damn
what
sure.
What episode are you doing?
We got to pick one for him. I don't even know what kind
of
artist you
First
actually
of all,
like.
I need to decide if I want to be involved in this.
You want to be involved. Trust you do.
I just don't know if I'm famous enough to do it yet, but
you're not, but you will be.
Yeah. I mean, you know. I mean, you know.
You've only been doing stand-up for what, like 30 years?
17 years.
It'll happen.
How long have you been doing it?
Let's just hit 10.
Nice.
Already had a TV show. Already had a TV show.
Well,
already.
I didn't even see you on that TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't even see you on that TV show.
Well, I got to tell you, Jay,
that
I don't know if you know.
That was it. That, all right,
you know, I was intimately involved with that TV show. One of the things I never told you is they had to use a narrow angle camera lens to keep all them legs off camera, man. It was not easy to cut around four legs. First time everybody ever had to do that post, man.
The only thing I saw of Josh, I kept being, I was like, is that a smoker's machine? They're like, no, that's Josh's vape.
That's his vape.
In the credits, it says, Ambiance Creator. That's
oh,
all I'm doing
man.
Is vaping. vaping and blowing glass. They didn't need a
Josh
smoke machine.
Josh tiptoed into the lion's den. Oh, boy. Set yourself up for that one, man.
No, that was great. But, I mean, it's what I'm saying is I want you to do it. You know I want you to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man, we'll do it.
And we'll definitely do it. And we'll just pick the right record. And so, yeah, like I said, just the 500.
We got it. Shut the fuck up.
Lord.
You find it on Zoom?
Get to your goddamn right. Stories. This is, look, now listen.
Can we talk about what's up with the yellow hunting glasses you've been wearing lately?
I got them when I did Skankfest. And just it kind of people just girls complimented me wearing them and it's just I'm
people asking you to wear them now.
Oh, no, man, I'm people wearing
people they keep saying Josh them. Put the yellow sunglasses on and do a podcast.
I like to give people what they want.
I just that's you know dude I'm just leaning in yeah, leaning lean into in whatever there. I am. I don't know what I am, but
that's,
at this point
that's the thing.
No, but at this
I don't know what I am
at
either,
this point, man. Like I'm like I let the gray come out, like I'm just growing my hair back out. I'm going on stage and I'm not trying to do like clean television sets because that's what stopped me from growing as an artist, because everybody was saying, well, we don't know what to do
it
with
was
you
the
because
drugs as a person.
Yes, but
it was.
Yeah, all right, well, no, actually that's not true at all. That's not true at all, dude. I fucking
succeeded with them.
I succeeded on Oxys, dude. I sold my show on Oxys. Proud sponsor of the goddamn Comedy Jam. Oxy 80s. When you want to scratch yourself and be cut out of your television show. Do Oxys.
Oh,
no,
my
but
God.
I don't care anymore what society like or what the industry is saying is going on television. I'm not a gay Asian man. I'm a white straight man, and I'm just saying it's like I'm just gonna be Josh Adam Myers and I'm gonna be him.
Yeah, no one's asking you to not be.
But I wasn't, for years, man. Sure. I was holding back because I was trying to go through society's or entertainment industry standards of what is being booked and what they were asking
and
me
there
to
are
do.
None. That's
and there
the
aren't, but when you do it the other way that everybody else has, you will not succeed. Nobody has given me an opportunity. All I do is create opportunities for myself. Every show I do, doing the Ice House show, doing the Comedy Store show, I'm not a regular at the Comedy Store like I'd want to be, so I have my main room show, so at least I know once a month I am up there in front of the bookers. And it's like I had a comic come up to me and complain that you know about her opportunities and about how she didn't get something. And I was like, well, as like sweetheart, I was like, no one gives me anything. Like if I wouldn't have created the jam, if I wouldn't have worked my ass off, then
yeah, I know, I get it, dude.
I know.
I've been doing my own thing and creating everything since Jump Street. All of us have. Anyone that you know that's been doing anything, you know, that's how I started comedies. Created my own room, so I had a place to get. I know it, dude.
Exactly. So I think more of what I'm doing. I'm not saying it to you. I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it to the feasters, man. Because sometimes people need to hear that it's like, regardless of how low you are in your life, how many legs you got, how many DUIs and passports you got, man. Just fucking do your shit and just work your ass off at what you love, and I promise you, you will be happy and successful. That's it.
That's what you say all the time.
It's all through meditation, man.
Be
also
the best
meditate.
Where you are.
That's also meditate. Are you meditating now?
Yeah, I do TM.
You do TM too?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You do it as well?
I've been doing it for the last year, man.
Oh, nice.
Every morning, I do 22 minutes, and then I also go to a spiritual guide now.
Oh, my.
Wait, you don't do it twice a day?
No, I just do it in the morning.
Okay.
I do
morning usually around 10 or 11, and then the afternoon around 3:30, 4. You know, life gets in the way. Sometimes it has to be like 10 at night or something like that. But always
I did it the whole time I was in New York. I was in New York for like 2 weeks, and then me and Ryan met in Maryland on Friday the 16th.
Where did you go? Los Feliz?
What do you mean?
Like to get...
Oh, no. I go to a guide. My friend Tull set me up with... her guide, and then he teaches transcendental meditation.
Oh, cool.
So he taught me, and now I go with him, and it's a variation of like therapy, and then also like, I mean, when I bring a problem and I'm like, I'm freaking out right now, I don't know why, I feel uncomfortable around these people, and then he just says something along the lines of like, well, you're the mountain. The mountain is always solid. Like, the weather might change, but you're always the mountain. Just know that. And I'm like, yeah. And then we meditate. And then I give him $100. But it's those things that I'm doing that are making me, you know, I'm just a far happier person than I've ever been. And a lot of it has to do with cutting out all the drugs, you know, knowing that I am worthy.
Let me vape this real quick. I'm trying to cut it all.
I don't know about all of them.
Well, no, I still smoke weed, and I still do CBD, and I mean it's, but I mean I'm not.
And every once in a while.
Well, also right here on this podcast, over the years, it has helped you become more yourself too. You can listen to your episodes and hear like. Taking stories from, we took the arrested on your birthday story.
Yeah, we did.
Now, in his defense, we did tell that on his show.
I did make it. I made it to Comedy Central Digital. They didn't promote it. So it was digital.
It didn't premiere. It just sort of landed there one day, you know? Just like a meteor, just fucking struck the Comedy Central Digital page and stuck there. It's there. If you want to see it. And I'll say this. It's a really good fucking story.
It
worked
great.
Our ass off on
we
that
did.
Story. It's a good story.
I'm super proud of it.
But when, you know, you're in that environment, I just not, you know, the right environment for that to tell a long story like that. But anyway, over the years, you also have, you've built a fan base from this podcast and they love you and you've grown as a comedian right here as well and a storyteller. So it's awesome to see another comic take some fucking stories from the Crab Feast and put it on TV.
I can't thank the two of you enough because you guys gave me an opportunity and, you know, and the fans and just their support, that little message of like a little Instagram comment on something, just, oh, that's so funny, or you're doing a good job, or like four legs and a fat crease or whatever it is.
And then just, you know where they're from.
I know
forever.
Exactly where they're right. from. And it's just something that you that just warms my heart, man. Like even when I was at my lowest, I know I was going to do something, but just it takes a village, man. And just every little, you know, positive reinforcement that I've gotten has just made me a better person. And so, like, that's why I think I'm so revealing on here, because I want people to be able to laugh at all of my flaws. Because
it's also you being more accepting of yourself and being able to accept your flaws.
Yes.
Because we're a second chance society. The United States is built on second chances, you know, so. I mean, some 4 and 5 chances, you know what I'm saying? But no, I think that's great, man. I think it's great.
So I'm excited.
So why don't we shift from being this great person back into this list of people that you, the stories of who you used to be, apparently.
All right, I'll do a warm-up story right now. This is because I have one.
First of all, hold on a second. Now, I'm gonna call him out on something, Jay, because you know how he, I want to say the other night, so he always says, Ryan's like, go fuck, tell him I said go fuck him. All that shit. Well, this is Josh's go fuck himself. And he said it to me the other night, and I called him out on it. So he goes, he's having this issue. We're not going to drop names or anything. He's having this issue with something. He's like, and I just don't understand. I don't know what I did. I mean, and I'm like, there's nothing. He's like, nothing, man. There's nothing. Nothing I can think of.
I spit in her face.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Same principle, right? Nothing I can think of. I mean, there was this one thing, but I mean, we worked that out, man. I mean, we totally worked that. It was no big deal or anything like that. And I'm like, you definitely worked that out? He's like, yeah, man. I mean, we hung out and everything since then. I'm like, that's it, huh? That's weird. It'd still just be that.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, there's this other thing, too. It might be, but I don't think it's that because I did this and he said that. And I'm like, and that's it? And he's like, yeah, it's just those two things. But then there's this one thing.
I swear to God, he gave me three.
No, I did not. I gave you two. I gave you two.
I'll tell you the three you gave me.
I gave you two.
And I said, Josh, it might
be. Oh, wait, no, there was three.
I know there were.
I forgot about the other one.
I said, it might not be that one or that one or that one. It might be the fact
three
that the three of them combined, he might just be like, you know what? Yeah, it could be that. But, I mean, I can't think of anything else. It was nothing.
Give him a couple days.
That's his fucking go fuck himself shit.
That's hilarious.
All right. Fire it up.
So,
give us that warm-up story.
That's his business, by the way, too. Is a lot of times you just have, like, sometimes people just fuck themselves until they don't fuck themselves anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you're right. I'm working on myself.
You are,
and
man.
I really am. And I'm.
You're always working on something.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line. So
that's true. All right, so let's take you guys back
to when you weren't working.
To when I wasn't working.
But he was working on some.
Fuck. I wonder if I should. I just because I want to make sure I get this one. I like this one a lot. So I'm living in Baltimore. I'm going to Towson University. This is 2005. five or six.
You on campus or
I'm 10 years out.
I'm living off campus. I'm living in Canton Square area, like where
this is what's nuts.
In the city?
Yeah. Where I took you. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's nuts is that I've been coming back to visit the whole time. He's like, I lived right here. And I was like, there's a chance. I wish there was a way that you could have like go back to a moment in life with GPS. And you'd be like, I was in this fucking bar right here having drinks when you were over there having a slice of pizza at that place. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wish you could be like.
I know for a fact.
I'm curious if you and I, what proximity, what's the closest we'd ever even been? Because maybe we were in Manhattan the same time once. Maybe. Who the fuck knows? I think that'd be bad.
I know for a fact that I was at a dance with my wife like 10 years before
same
I ever
dance.
Met her. Same dance. Yeah.
And you're sure both of you were at that dance?
Yeah. I was with my high school girlfriend who went to Providence, the JRW. I was there with her, and Kate was there because she was at Providence in the same class. So we were at the same dance. Oh, I want to get like pictures to see
that's
if like
nuts.
She's in. I mean, we might be in pictures together.
Well, our friend Christy, you know Christy.
Yeah.
Christy's husband now, she met this guy, and they're talking and stuff. Same situation. Like, nah, I was at that tailgate party. No, I want. And they went and found a picture, and they are. They're both at opposite ends in a group picture.
Oh, that's crazy.
And didn't know each other at all. Yeah.
There's a chance that you and I were probably in the same vicinity.
If you stayed in that Canton Square in 2006,
I was.
You ever buy blow under the bridge?
I'll tell you where I wasn't. I wasn't in those rave tents.
The corner of, you know, I was always posted up on Pratt Street. So if you needed something. All right. So I'm going to Towson University. I'm also working as a PA on The Wire.
Oh, wow.
So I worked on The Wire for a couple seasons.
See, that's what I mean. Even as fucked up as he is, he's in college, and however good your grades are, he's still like hustling, getting PA work. Like, you knew you wanted to be in the business. I really
I got credit for that, too. I did my final year of Towson. I got credit for The Wire. I got credit for The Invasion, Nicole
Kidman
movie. And then I also got credit for when I was a PA on a Limit Date. Because I was a PA, my cousin produced
an episode in Baltimore.
Yeah, they did an episode, and that was, honest to God, that was one of the most fun 2 weeks of my life I've ever had. Like,
I also got credit for Three's Company, but that was a little shady. I don't know how I pulled that off. I was extra Dorito.
I did all the scene work in the TV
Larry
show Webster.
Bumps in the back of me and spills his drink on me. That's me right there, guys. They told me to look left away from the camera, but that's me.
I was a set dresser for Facts of Life.
I'm the one that brought all 2D skates, man. That was me back there. WD-40 2D skates.
Script
man.
Supervisor for Alf. Also did hair and makeup on Falcon Crest.
Falcon. Hey, Falcon! Falcon!
Bring your crest.
Oh, my God.
Bring your... Not your seal, your crest.
Not the toothpaste, the thing that goes...
Come on,
God
man.
Damn it.
So I'm working as a PA on The Wire, and I'm going to college. And one day, I go to the supermarket, the Safeway, that's there on the corner.
Was I'm saying we were probably in that motherfucker
Boston
at the same
Street.
Time. That's,
and,
yes, that's
and I run... into the guy that plays Omar there, Michael Kenneth Williams, right? And so I immediately go up to him, and it was funny too because he was arguing with like whoever, like one of the managers there. I don't think either it was like a money order or whatever he needed. He was arguing with her, and I kind of walk up and I'm like, hey, what's up, Mike? I was like, we've met on set. I'm Josh and blah, blah, blah. And so we hit it off. He gives me his number and he tells me he's living like a few blocks away. And
oh, that's a big mistake.
But he liked me. We hit it off right away.
No, I'm sure he did.
Because this is the thing, is that I invited him out that night to go drinking, and he likes to party. Like, he really liked to party at the time. And we go to JD's, and we start getting drunk. And
does everybody know him, like, when he rolls
in? Everybody knows him. And
Omar coming.
Yeah, he's such a fun guy. And as we're drinking, like, we're putting on music.
Do you know his character on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're putting on, like, music on the jukebox, and he's, like, you know, picking out, like Michael Jackson hits, and we're dancing, we're having a great time.
Is he going to be on the 500?
I think
you
so.
Should
I
hit
mean,
him up.
I would love to. I mean, maybe.
Why wouldn't you?
Maybe after the story. I mean,
we'll see how this story.
Probably.
Yeah, we'll see how this
probably
story goes.
The chances I'll be on the 501. I'm going to be on.
You know what? I would rather. And we're I still have his number. Like we follow each other. All due respect to him. I think he's a great guy. So I don't think the story is even that bad. Anyway, it's just funny. So. we hit it off, and over the next like 2 weeks, like I'm in a class called Dance for the Camera, which is a film class in conjunction with the dance department at Towson University. So senior filmmakers have to shoot a choreographed piece by the dance majors, and then they use a bunch of like freshman dancers or sophomores that are trying to get credits. And Mike used to be a professional dancer. Like, he is classically trained, you know, in every facet of dance. And so he was like, I want to come, I want to help. And I was like, cool.
How many legs he got?
Dude, he's good. He's only got two, but they're strong. They're strong.
Too.
I think that's why he liked me so much, because he was like, man, look at this motherfucker's legs. This
guy.
Shit.
Anybody sitting here?
He's breakdancing and doing the electric slide at the
Anybody
same time.
Anybody sitting the next one? I'm gonna walk up to the bar.
I have so many legs that I have multiple legs doing different dances. I got one leg doing the lambada, one doing the stanky leg.
And the other one over here tripping people. Just sticking it back. Like, I'm sorry, that's my third one.
Sorry about that one.
That one's got a mind of its own, play, that, boy.
The third right is longer than all the rest. I got this weird disorder. The third right has one of those big shoes on, you know what I mean? All right, so him and I are becoming friends, and he knows I'm doing that project. He comes to the campus with me and like helps choreograph and work with the dancers. And so like we're walking around the campus and everybody's like, oh my God, there's Omar from The Wire. And it's like, I'm kind of on my chest like, all right.
Is that guy from Ad Drop?
So I think I saw you spit in somebody's face in front of the student union.
I think I know him.
Crystal. So we've become friends now. And then there's a night that I invite him to come out with me, my roommate, and this girl that I had just started like messing around with. She was a bartender at this place. I want to call it Looney's. It might not be Looney's. It was in Canton Square. Leonies. I think I asked you about Leonies. Like, I met her when they used to do 25 cent wings there. She was the bartender, and she was very sexy, very Baltimore. You know,
listen,
what I mean?
If I give you a dog, I get a wing for each leg.
So, what's funny?
A dollar for four wings.
What's,
I got four motherfucking legs, girl. Let's go.
What's funny about this girl is I've told this story many times, not on the Crab Feast, but it's that when I started messing around with her, and when I went to go pick her up, I got lost going to her house, and she was like, here, she's like, talk to my dad on the phone. And she gives her dad advice. Hey, Josh, where are you? And I was like, well, I'm like by the Pulaski Highway. He goes, nah. He goes, what strip club are you by? And I was like, the Gold Club. He goes, all right, make a left.
Make a left or a half mile up on the right.
Yeah, so
pick me up some canopy
just,
on the way.
She is
right by the pit beef.
That was so delicious.
Best sandwich ever.
Also,
one of the best I've ever had.
Shout out to your buddy. Was it Shelly? No, who's the guy that we went to get sandwiches with?
Shelly, get in here, boy!
Shannon. Shelly.
I'm sitting here who in the fuck is he talking about?
Shannon's a guy, girl name. Shelly, girl name. I don't
you
know.
You can be a Shelly.
Right.
You can be
like
Shelly.
A big Italian dude.
It's very Jewish. It's a very Semitic name. Very Semitic. So, this is the first time I've hung out with this girl. So me, Mike, and then we go pick up the girl, and then we go out to a bar, right? And we're all getting drunk. We're all having fun. I don't want to say, but we're having fun. And me and the girl like just break off from everybody and go into like one of the bathrooms, and she starts like you know giving me a blowjob, and so I'm like, all right, well, this girl's ready to go. It's getting late anyway. Let's get out of here. So me, Zaztec, my old roommate, and Mike and the girl jump in a car. We go back to my house. We had a 2-story or 3-story brownstone. And on the first floor, when you walk in the door, there was like a bar that we had made, like a really nice bar. You would have loved it, Jay, because it was my friend built it. It was really well done. And we had all these liquors. And so I just look at Mike and my roommate, and I'm like, so I'm going to go upstairs. Y'all have some fun. And I do a shot. And me and the girl go upstairs to my bedroom. Now, this is what my roommate has told me, and then I'll pick it up from me. So I'm up there for maybe like 5 to 6 minutes, and While I'm down there, my roommate said he was hanging out with Mike, right? And Mike just starts walking upstairs, right? Omar's coming.
Omar coming.
He starts walking upstairs, and my roommate goes, "Whoa, whoa, 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 Mike, what are you doing, man? Josh is up there getting laid." And he just looks at my roommate in a real creepy way, goes, "I like to watch."
Damn.
So cut to me, right? So I'm in the bed with the girl. My bed was – so my door was like in front of me, and then the bed's right there.
Now, is this Shitty Kitty?
This is not Shitty Kitty, no.
No.
Okay, Shitty Kitty, was a few years before. This was actually this girl. I don't want to get started.
Don't say her name.
No. I don't know her name. I don't know her name. I tried to remember it. My roommate thought she was disgusting. I remember he said because we had to share a bathroom. I used to have to go through his room to get to the bathroom. And he said the girl came in once and like took like a huge shit, didn't flush, and then didn't wash her hands or something. Or maybe she flushed but clogged the toilet.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, she's
probably flushed and thought she'd flush.
Yeah, so they, you know, she wasn't.
It's the hands part I'm a little more
yeah,
upset
exactly.
about.
Maybe she had a sanitizer in her pocket. You know?
Travis yeah, maybe style. His sleep was so Travis filthy. Style. She's like, fuck yeah, that. We're making her out to be the bad person. I got a feeling that bathroom wasn't up to any kind of standards.
No, it was nice. This house, yeah, this house nice. Was nice. Because, no, because I was the only degenerate.
It's one of the nicer shared bathrooms you could ever have. No, it's a shared bathroom. It's already not that nice.
So
it's not even in the nice category yet. We can't. It's shared. It already drops it down a notch. You know what I'm saying?
So it's a two-bedroom, one-chair bath.
It's a two-bedroom, quarter bath. What is that? You're shared. Why is it only? It's only a half. It's real dirty. I mean,
so
showers out bad.
So I'm up in the bedroom, and the girl. I got my like head on the pillow that's against the headboard, and the girl is giving me a blowjob, and her ass is like facing like the door, mm-hmm. right? Now, I have my eyes closed and I'm enjoying getting a blowjob. And then I open my eyes and the door is wide open. And there's Omar from The Wire just staring at me with the creepiest look I've ever seen on anybody's face. Omar, yeah.
That's what the fuck he's doing over there.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
So, Josh Adamire's got his own Omar coming story.
And so I go, Mike, what are you doing? And Mike just goes, oh, my bad. And then just grabs the door handle and it's like, he's like closing the door so slowly, but keeping his head in a little bit, like, and then he closed it. And then I used one of my legs to kick the door shut just to make sure. And then that was it. And to be honest with you, I never saw him ever again.
That was it.
That was it. That's a story. And that's the warm up story.
I wonder if he was on the long play on that. You know what I mean?
It was such a creepy look in his eyes. And so, yeah, there's that one. Now, that was the appetizer for this one.
Forget the appetizers. Forget the main course. I knew she's a dude because her voice was hoarse.
I don't know that.
I don't even know that
Pablo
song
Francisco.
Either.
She got a ding dong and tits. You never heard that song?
A ding dong and tits.
Yeah.
Is that a not? Dude, he's got so many. I can't keep up with his shit.
He's unbelievable.
So go to. So for this story, it started. I was going to junior college at Montgomery College. And
where is that?
Montgomery County, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C., like 20 minutes outside.
One of the teams we played. They were in our area. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to school.
One of the teams we beat.
I'm going to school there, and I was in Intro to Philosophy, right? And I loved that class. And one day, we did a test, and I didn't really study for it.
Really?
Mm.
It's just an intro.
Hard to believe.
I mean,
just intro, you know. But I got the test back, and the test, I think I got an A on it. Like, and I was so excited when I got home from doing well from that. At like 2, 3 p.m., I just opened up my parents' liquor cabinet, and I just poured myself like.
Wait, you're living at your parents when you're going to school? House, yeah. Oh, you didn't live on campus at all?
Not the junior college.
Oh, junior. Okay.
Yeah. Towson, I lived in Canton Square, but when I was going to junior college, I was still living in my parents' house. And I'm 18 years old still at this point. I don't have a car yet.
So you started at JC and then went to.
Yeah. Okay. So I get home and I pour myself a glass of literally 95% vodka, like a pint glass. And then I put like a dab of orange juice in it. And I was doing that for like a little bit. What do you mean?
Like months?
Maybe like a couple weeks. I think I was just drinking really heavy because I would get out of class so early. I never had like the whole day. During like the
to drink.
Not to drink, but
man, I used to drink at night, but now I got all this free time
and an A.
And so, but I remember I was doing that, and then what I would do is I would pour a drink, and then I go over to my friend Paul Bettany's house, right? And so I pour the huge, and I'd done that before, and nothing had happened. I'd go over to Paul's house; he had a big house down the street from me. And he lived with his mom, but his dad was like working in India doing some job. So it was just like the house was usually empty, and we had
AKA,
it as like
he's doing a bid. He's in prison.
No. He worked in India. Like he had some job. He came home every once in a while, like every 6 months. But like work he wasn't. He might have been. I have no fucking idea.
Exactly.
So, but I would go over there and I would hang out. So on this particular day, I poured myself a huge glass of vodka with a splash of orange juice and I chugged it. And in my headphones, I remember I had like my Discman and I was listening to Beck Odelay is one of my favorite records. And so I don't know what it was. Maybe
it's going to be episode 232 of the 500.
You got to subscribe.
I think it is. I think it's in the final. Okay. Yeah, it's in 100 to 200. I'm so excited. So not only do I have one big pint glass, but I have two more of vodka. We're talking probably, fuck, man. I mean,
half like, a bottle,
like a half a bottle of vodka.
And you're what?
I'm 18 years 19? Old. I weigh 151 right now. I probably weighed 120 back then.
I've seen those videos of you. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a video of me. I've told the story in the Crab Feast of when I got kicked, when I got arrested and I got released from prison, not prison, holding cell.
Always dials it up a notch, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Prison. He went from prison to a holding cell. Not even jail. He leapt over jail.
All right, I was in the backseat of a cruiser for about 20 minutes.
I was questioned for actually,
it was a security guard.
It was a security guard asking me for directions.
It was my buddy's uncle, but still. That's how he got questioned.
Prison. He went to prison.
Actually, it was one of my elementary school patrols. All right, so.
Oh, my God.
So, but yeah, there's that video of me getting released from jail, holding cell, whatever we're going to call it. So I weighed nothing. So I slug one down. I'm listening to music. I slug another one down. I'm listening to music. Oh, fuck. Wait, I got to go back a little bit. I have to go back to tell the beginning of this story, which is go back to the night that Cal Ripken Jr. Retired from Major League Baseball. Me and my buddy Dead Cat from DeShekels were just watching the game in my parents' living room, and we were raiding the liquor cabinet, and we were drinking like pretty heavily. And the games, you know, Cal Ripken retires.
Just you and DC or was anybody else?
Just me and Dead Cat, dude. And fucking.
What are you, a fucking. He's like an outsider. I mean, me and Dead Cat.
So we're drinking, having a good time. And then as the game ends, they were showing a lot of advertisements for Miss Cleo's psychic network, right? You remember Miss Cleo?
Of course.
You know, it's like, is he incarcerated? Yep, that's the daddy. You know, and we're watching that, and it says first 12 minutes free on the phone call, right? So me and Dead Cat are like, you know what? Let's fucking call. Like, we'll just cut it off. After 12 minutes, right? So we call up Miss Cleo, and it's just some probably woman in her fucking living room. And she's like, all right, what do you guys want? Like, yeah. We're like, I'm, you know, you're supposed to read my future. And she's like, well, And as she starts explaining it, literally, like,
takes about 12 minutes to actually settle in.
Well, no, that's the thing.
I'm going to give you a warm-up story for the first 12.
They say to you, when you know
they want the Cleo Plus package, Carol.
All right, girl, let me get my kimono on. Let's do this.
Kimono.
She did wear some shit on her head.
Always had she some did. Shit. She had robes and a lot of more silk.
It was more of a dashiki than a kimono. Yeah.
It probably was.
It was a dashiki.
Trumpet sleeves. It had trumpet sleeves.
But she was a huge scam artist, too. Like, she went to jail for a long time.
Of course, me too. That's it.
I mean, she might have been a psychic. She might have been some sort of a clairvoyant.
She knew people were going to fall for it and give her money. That's what the fuck she knew.
So, but they say at the beginning
Enter
of the phone
Jimmy
call.
Enter Jimmy Jobs. What's it's a 12-minute fucking, it's a 12-minute message.
Enter Jimmy Josh. So,
don't worry, someone will call.
So she Josh. Says,
Miss Cleo, Miss Cleo.
So, but at the beginning of the phone call, they say to you, you'll be getting charged when you hear like a boom, like you'll hear like a noise, and that means you're going to be getting charged. And so I'm talking to the woman right at the beginning, and immediately I hear the boom, and I'm like, wait, I just heard the bong. Does that mean I'm getting charged?
She's like, that's all you can focus on. Now you don't even give a shit about what's happening in the future. You're only part of the future.
Oh, God. What is he?
There's some charges about the hit your parents' card.
Oh, boy.
That's all you got.
Yeah, we got you.
Oh my God. I could see him panicking. Like, I just heard the bong. He's calling it the boing.
At 18. Five.
Freaking out. Like, wait a minute.
Oh my God.
It's so stupid. That's the whole scam.
I heard the bong. He's got a bong. What the fuck was that noise? She's like, I dropped something. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. All right. That's just old spittoon I kicked over. Where's your office?
It's in the back. I'm in the Wild West. I'm calling from the past. You're calling
You're
the
talking,
future.
Yeah,
I'm in the past.
I'm in the past. You got the wrong number. Oh, they bong, they that's what I'm saying. They bong, of course they bong it right away. What fucking person really thinks they're gonna time? 12 minutes is a long goddamn time.
It's a long time.
You only get 5 to fucking tell the world who you are all late night.
My God, he's lost it, dude.
They bonged him right away. They were like, we got one on the line. Teresa hit the bong. Kicked us the suit and get them on the dime right now. Yeah. Oh, God. That's what they did to everybody. And you're calling and arguing it, and they're like, sorry, you dialed the number. We're not going to refund you your
How
money.
How long had you been on when you heard the bong?
Dude, not even like 2 minutes.
It was during the warning.
It was like during.
You're going to hear a bong. A bong.
Whoa, what was that?
Wait, is that a sample? You tell me what it's going to sound like, or is that the bong?
Nah, that's the bong.
A sample.
Was that what I'm going to hear, or was that the real bong right there?
All right, well, what was that now? I put my glass down on the counter.
Everything.
Well, what was that? I'm getting my keys out of my pocket. Will you just relax?
Oh, God damn.
I got the gong show on the TV over here. Will you just relax?
I just got some wind chimes on the back patio, honey. Come on now. Let me tell you about
well,
you.
You know I'm spiritual. Come on.
I'm wearing some little castanets right now on my fingers, Josh. That's how I see the past.
So what did they say God when you damn. Said, am I getting
so
charged?
So I go, hey, I heard the bong. I was like, does that mean
and
I'm getting charged?
And who are you asking, though? The psychic?
The psychic.
You're on with Miss Cleo?
Not Miss Cleo.
Oh, you don't get the queen?
No, her name is Miss Michelle. That was the worst.
Miss Michelle?
Miss Mish.
Miss Michelle.
It's actually not Miss Michelle. It's Mish, Mish, Shell. It's 3 names. Mish Michelle.
You're saying it right, but I can tell you're seeing it wrong.
Hey, Mish Michelle. Come on, man.
Mish Michelle. Get down there.
So.
Oh, fuck.
So I'm talking to the woman, and then immediately she starts, and then I hear the bong, right? And I go, hey, wait, I heard the bong. And she's like, She's like, no, I didn't. She's like, I didn't. There was no
bong. I got a tea kettle on. Would you settle down? That makes some Earl Grey.
I still like aluminum trash cans. Go ahead.
So I say to her, I'm like, I heard the bong. And she goes, she goes, what do you mean? I go, when they said in the warm up or whatever, the recorded message.
No, she called it a warm up.
The crowd warm up guy came on and told all of us we were going to hear a bong at 12 in, and we are about 2:26.
The bong. So I say to her, I'm like, I heard the bong. And she goes, well, I didn't hear anything, so you're not being charged. I didn't hear a bong, so you're fine.
Okay.
And so
I like that.
I'm sure that's
so I'm like,
legit,
okay.
Because you said it.
So we talk for up until, my friend had a timer, we talked up until like 11:30, and then.
Hit that fucking, press that receiver down.
Hit that one down. So so we hung up, and then we were like, well, it says you get your first like 6 12-minute phone calls free. So we just keep drinking.
You get half dozen free.
Well, we just kept calling. I remember
six calls,
it said,
but the first 12 minutes is free on those six.
Yeah, something like that.
So, thank you, 72 minutes.
So the first 6 calls that we say we get the first 12 minutes free, right?
Okay, so you call again.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we call.
Wait, because I heard something.
No, I just.
Hold on.
I'm cheers in my
heart. Miss Michelle.
For Christ's sake.
Wait. Hold on. Wait, that's like the third time I heard it, man. I was just Miss Michelle.
I got an old grandfather clock in here.
No, Miss Michelle, am I on? Because I keep hearing dings.
You're fine.
I'm good. All right. Oh, Miss Michelle, I think I heard something. Miss Michelle.
God.
That's so ridiculous.
So we call back 6 more times. Well, 5 more
times. I have a question, which is what Jay actually was doing. So when you call back, that did you hear it again right away? You know what I mean? Like, did they ding it right away again?
I think by that point, we just ignored it.
You weren't hypersensitive?
No, I think
But you stayed on the clock.
We stayed on the clock, yeah.
All right.
So at least I knew that we were doing it. We had that evidence.
Because I'm sure that you had the small print. Totally down. I'm sure that
I'm
wasted.
Sure.
You had the small that went by like this that you weren't recording and pausing on.
You screwdriver.
Sure, you had all that fucking legalese down.
So so we call back 5 more times, right? Each phone call, we cut it off.
Is it always Miss Michelle?
No, I think it was somebody different.
We got Miss Tara. We got Miss
one lady doing different voices too. Yeah.
So then we have like the best time because we're asking like real random questions, and like it was really funny the way they would
they
do
getting
it.
Anything?
Yeah, is there anything that stood out?
Yeah, well, she'd be like, no, it's just a scam because she'd be
no shit. But is there anything she
no? She'd be like, are you in a relationship? And I'd be like, no, I'm not in a relationship. Well, you're about to be in a relationship.
Listen, here's
wait,
hang up, John.
She said I'm going to be in a relationship. Time. No, she's saying time.
Pull me another screwdriver.
Oh, we got to call back.
All right, redial.
Listen, can you pick up off the shit the last lady had? Because she just said I was going to be.
She said something about a relationship.
I'm not seeing any of that.
No, not with cocaine. She said something about a woman.
You know what she did say? What she said, you're about to die is what she.
Wait! I think I heard something. Is that the dong?
The dong?
Listen, I'm catering over here, okay?
He's
a lot of people over here.
The ball.
All right. So we call.
I just bought a lot of wine goblets. I'm just testing them out over
So
here.
We have the greatest time that night, calling this woman. And
it's
you
only
fantastic.
Called. You did everything 6 times.
6 times, 12, almost 11:30 each time. And that was like he retired. I think it was like September or October.
September 6th.
September
well, that's when I think the.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? They had like the big night.
It was 26-32.
Didn't he hit a home run that night?
Well, if you're talking, that's when he broke the streak.
No. It wasn't when he broke the streak.
But when he
retired,
the night he retired, he did hit a home run. That
yeah.
And he ended the streak was 26-32 games. But the night he retired, yes, he did.
So that was the night. So then skip ahead to skip ahead to, you good? Okay. Skip ahead to, we'll continue with that story where, so I got home, I had the test and I'm like, yeah, man, I got an A. And I just start glugging down fucking screwdrivers. Right. And then I put my headphones on and I'm just like, I'm going over to Paul's house. And so he lives maybe like a 2 mile walk. Right. And then I walk out the door and I remember I'm listening to Beck and I'm like, this is fucking great. And then the next thing I know, I wake up, it's the next morning, and my room is destroyed. Just trash. My like card table's flipped over. There's a hole in the wall.
Miss Michelle like, said this was going to happen. First 2 minutes she did, she said this.
So I'll pick the story up from what Mike Seidenberg, Dead Cat, has told me.
Okay.
So
what you just found out when you were back home, right? Weren't you talking to somebody? No.
That was Zaztec. Oh, he told me another story that I might tell, but this one is one that I've always remembered.
Should I tell him?
You should definitely tell him.
Miss Michelle said said there was no bomb. Michelle. So what I did was I started walking to Paul's house, and you have to like cut through. There's ways of getting there, but I walked through Germantown Elementary School, and then you used to have to like, this is before like Germantown was like developed like it is now. So there's a lot of farm area and back roads to get to Paul's, and so I started walking. And I guess there was a very windy road. I just fell asleep in the middle of the road, like completely like passed out drunk, fell asleep in the middle of the road. And some car comes by and the car like almost hits me. They see me laying there. They think I'm dead. The guy gets out of the car. And what I've been told is I immediately start trying to fight the guy that tries to wake me up. And then I just start walking. I'm just like, fuck you, man. I don't need your help. I'm just resting. And then I just keep walking to Paul's house, right? And then Paul.
Who are you with?
I got two turntables and a microphone. Fucking ringing off in his head.
I got a devil's haircut. Get away from me.
So who are you with walking?
I'm by myself. I'm by myself.
Well, then who? You said I've been told. Who told you?
Because that was Paul's neighbor. They live next door to Paul. So they said they stopped the car and they were like, yeah. So eventually I've been told this from like four different people because there were a lot of people that
you ain't going to believe this. I just saw a man. Was it Josh? No, I saw a man with four legs sleep in the middle of the road.
So the guy tries to help me. I start trying to like fight him. And then I just continue walking to Paul Bettany's house. I get to Paul's house. His mom knocks on the door. And when she answers the door, I was just holding my belt. And I was like, hi, Miss Bettany.
Wait, you're naked?
I'm not naked. Oh. I'm just holding my belt. I'm like, ah. And I just like, she lets me in. And I go to,
Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm on a call real quick. Hang on. Miss Michelle, hang on. I got somebody.
Oh, shit. Wait, Josh, come on. I need to come back.
So I go inside. I'm wasted. She's like, I'm going to go get Josh some water. And then I go downstairs for like Paul. Paul was with his girlfriend, Leah. And I just start like trying to have like a jam room. We used to be in like a little band together. And so I start like playing on the instruments, but I'm just such a mess that they're just like, we just got to get Josh home. But nobody had a car. Like Paul's mom had to leave already. So we were just stuck there. So they called Dead Cat.
They were stuck there.
Yeah, they
with
were
you.
With me. They were stuck there with me. And so they called Dead Cat to come pick me up, right? And so Dead Cat pulls up to the house, and you know, after like maybe like 20 minutes of trying to get me in the car, they finally get me in the car. He had one of those like Pontiac, Sunbird, right? The Sunbird.
Grand Am too.
Yeah, but this was like the late to mid 90s Sunbird. So they, you know, it was like a very like.
Any Sunbird? It's the same thing.
Yeah, of course. So I get in the back seat or the front seat of the car, and they're trying to drive me home. And I start like, I'm like, hey, pull over. I got to throw up, right? Because I just didn't want to go home. And they said they open up the door, and then I don't throw up. I just get out of the car and just start like acting like I'm throwing up for like, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I was wasted.
Yeah, that 12 minutes in his head, he's like, if I do this for 5 to 10.
You're just you're out there acting like you're throwing up?
I this is what I've been told.
Oh.
I was wasted, man.
You don't have any recollection of any of this story?
No, nothing. So
Fred's like, one more minute and I got to start charging you, Josh. You've been out there 11 and a half.
Hang on, Miss Dish. I mean, Miss Michelle.
Miss Dish?
Miss Dish.
Miss Dish?
Miss Dash. Hold on a second.
So they finally get me to my parents' house. And at this point, it's maybe like 5 p.m., right? And they take me upstairs and like I'm trying my best to not have to go to sleep. I'm like, no, I don't want to, like, I just want to like party, man. Let's just have fun. And Mike's like, dude, we just got to get you in your bed. You just got to go to sleep, because if when your parents get home, they can't, you gotta be asleep or your parents are going to fucking kill you to be this wasted. Even though I'm not a baby, I'm 18 years old. It's just like, to be that drunk, it would be at that early in the day, my parents, you know, would have been really pissed at me. So Mike finally gets me into bed and he says he waits around. He watches television while I fall asleep, right? And right around like 5:30 p.m., my parents come home, like simultaneously, like at the both at the same time.
Is that what simultaneously means? Damn, same they time? Just came in at the same
no
time.
Way.
That's unbelievable, man.
Simultaneous.
Oh, wow.
And
Contaneous? Simul?
And now here's the interesting thing. The reason I told that first story about Miss Cleo was that happened to be the day
they got the bill.
That the phone bill came. And it was like,
can we guess?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I already heard it.
When did he said it?
Yeah, he just said it.
How much the total was?
It's going to be four something.
Oh.
He started the
it was like it was like $430.
God. That shit was dear.
You in 90 what title. Year?
1999? No, 1998. No,
that's it was, like,
no,
it's still, like,
no, this is 97. This is 97 because he retired in 97, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he retired in 97. So this is 1997. It was like $400 and something. And so Mike's up there still, and he just hears my dad go, "What the fuck? Josh. And Mike just like, he literally like, just,
Josh was like, I'm out.
So So Mike just like literally runs downstairs, you know, just to get out of the house. And this is what my mom has told me is what happened was that my dad came upstairs to like yell at me.
Oh, Ripken retired in 2001. He retired, and you're thinking of him when he ended the streak. That was not.
Oh, when he ended the streak?
When he ended the streak, it was at 26-32 games, yes.
Oh, really? He retired in 2001?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? All right, so it was, but yeah, so it's like, there was a big Cal Ripken.
Yeah, actually, now come to think of this whole story is fake.
No. So what happens is that my dad comes upstairs, sees me passed out, he's got the bill, and my dad tries to like wake me up and starts to grab me.
Oh, God.
And then me and my dad, for the first time ever, fought. Like, me and my dad fought in my room.
Yeah.
And my mom says, I like kind of whoop my dad's ass. Like, no, I like.
Vodka strength,
dude. Well, it was the vodka.
I'm on these opioids. I don't feel shit, Dad. Let's get this down.
I mean, how big was your dad?
About my height. You
what
know,
are you?
I'm 5'9. You know, maybe my dad probably weighed 170.
At
you know,
5'9", 170.
5'9", 170.
So he had the same. He had weight on.
I was probably at the time. Experience. I was probably at the time, maybe still like about 150 pounds, if not a little bit. You know, maybe 10 less or something. But I don't know how we fought. But my mom. But like, it was weird. Like I woke. You know, when I woke up, my dad had a black eye, and my dad never talk to me like he, it was like weird.
Same.
There's
ever again.
Yeah, that was the truth. He'd never talk. He'd never like
his own seed,
but he would never raise his voice to me like that. Like
it was literally like
it was bad, and the whole place was trashed. And
what
so,
was your relationship with him going forward after that?
afterwards?
Like, he was always in your life?
I just want to say this.
Yeah, he was. My dad had always been in my life, but my dad wasn't a good father. My dad always would. He would, like, my sister is a doctor and had never gotten in trouble and is just such a good kid. And, like, I would just, I'm me. So, obviously, you've heard all these stories, you know, like, the mistakes that I made. And so, what I would do is I would always, like, I do get in school, but then I would fuck up somewhere along the lines, like, outside of school that would get me in trouble. And it was just, he just put me down a lot. So I think for me, I'm glad I did it because it was like the first time I finally got to show him. I was like, you know, cause he had been really mean to me many, many times. So, you know, I'm glad I don't remember it, but the fact that I got to get into that kind of like, a scrimmage with my dad, I mean, that was,
I did that. And so I was going to say, I did that. I remember the time I thought I was strong enough to fucking take my
dad. He wasn't thinking anything.
I wasn't thinking anything. I was not. I'm in front of my grandmom too.
And your dad whooped you in 2 seconds,
dude. It wasn't. He didn't even whoop me. He just took me to the ground and fucked. Just gave me a couple of where I was like, I'm not ready. Okay, I'm not ready.
Like in your rib cage or something,
neck and rib and shit. Like to make it that shit where you walk away, you're like, fuck. You'll feel that tomorrow, yeah, like you know,
Charlie Horse,
and all that is was a check. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm just checking you right now. You know what I mean? Like a thumb in the ribs, like strong. You're like,
how old were you?
Wait, I'm really. Can you?
Is that really?
Is that bothered? From the vape? That's
from the maple syrup vape over here.
I'll blow it down.
God damn, dude.
I'll blow it down.
Like a dragon over here. Start talking about his dad. He's over here.
Like Game of Thrones. One of Khaleesi.
One of Khaleesi.
Khaleesi's on his shoulders and shit.
You know Ian's gonna put Khaleesi on the back of your shoulders, dude. You know that shit.
Ian, get started.
God damn, I'm trying to tell a fucking story. But yeah,
how old were you? 11?
I'm a little older than that. Probably 4. You know, I started weight training and shit. That testosterone's building. You think you're the fucking shit. My dad was like, guess what, bro? And he just fucking put me right there. I was wrestling. But, you know, again, it's all kids your age.
Yeah.
And then you feel that old. And again, it wasn't even close to what he could have done if he wanted to do it. But, you know, all that testosterone, those hormones are raging. You think you can fucking run through steel, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine being fucking drunk and doing it.
Yeah,
he fought 3 people that day, man.
it was
ended with his death.
3-0 that day.
But you know, but from that point on, my dad was he just talked to me a lot differently.
How old?
I was 18. I think if it was in September, I hadn't turned 19 yet.
Like what you mean when you say differently? What do you say?
Little respect.
You know how I got respect for my dad?
Please?
I fucking ran up a $480 phone bill. I got shit-faced drunk at 18 in the middle of the day. And I showed him, look at me. I'm a real man.
I got an A, Dad.
Fucking unbelievable. I got an A. I don't even know how I got it.
Well, I didn't even study.
That was the thing, is that like the
in junior college, I got an A. My sister's a doctor. I got a junior college A at a test I didn't study for, and I fucking wanted the world to know about it.
I need to talk to somebody. Hang on. Miss Michelle, listen, I just need to. Hey, shit, am I out? Because we just got an excessive bill. I just need somebody to listen, Miss Michelle. I only need like 8 minutes. I don't even need a whole time. fuck.
Miss Michelle.
All right. So, but it was what I found out later was that they didn't give you the first 12 minutes free of 6 phone calls. They gave you the first 2 minutes free.
What, she hit it with an accent so it sounded like 12?
I don't know. I was probably selective hearing of what I wanted to hear. And I paid the phone bill back. And
you did?
Yeah, I think I did. I don't know if I don't remember. I didn't pay it back.
I'm sure.
I'm just trying
to
end it on.
Turns out I didn't even get an A. I got a C.
I got an A. Fuck you.
That 92 was a 72.
That's definitely a fucking Josh Adam Myers story right there. I mean, I can't think of anything else. Well, you know what?
You know what?
I did steal their car, buzzed all the windows out, but I put $10 gas in the tank. I don't know what. I'm not. We got over that.
How long are
you all did together?
How long are you gonna hold a grudge for, man?
I mean, what's 3 months between friends? I mean,
he said I did buzzed all the windows out, but I put $10 of gas in there.
That's Josh Adam Myers, my lovable degenerate cousin over there.
Oh, I love you. All right. Moving
So on. Wait, back to your dad stuff.
Yeah.
Like, are you saying he treated you differently in a good way? Because you said a little more respect. So it
because, like, if one...
But hold on. He wasn't, like... Did he ever treat you like he was ashamed that you came at him? Because I feel like every dad... I mean, I got a feeling...
I got a feeling his dad was ashamed of everything about
him. Breathe that smoke, motherfucker.
That was a good one.
At some point, I don't know, your son's a very sweet, sweethearted boy, but at some point he's gonna think he can fucking take you. Well, it's natural, man.
Not just that. At some point he's going to be a dick and say something rude or do something. Yeah. You know, of course. You're all going to rebel and want to step outside of that shadow that you've been living under, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I've already learned how to put kids in a sleeper hold. I'm going to just set them down real quick.
You know what's funny?
Gentle. Put a blanket on.
Is because I never had any relationship at all with my dad and have only ever seen him. I mean, I've had a relationship with him, but whatever. I've only ever seen him as someone that, like, you didn't want to be around. You didn't feel love from all these things that when my kids say shit to me, like, I love you, like, unsolicited from me. It fucking blows me away. I'm like,
me too, dude.
Like, that's weird. What? And when I see my kids play and get along, I'm like, that's so weird. Everything about it is just weird. I'm getting used to it.
Yeah. What was interesting was that, because I, after that, when I was in junior college that time, I actually, you know, I worked my ass off. I got really good grades and I went into Towson. And I remember my dad was like, I'm so proud of you. You're going away to school. This is perfect.
We're getting you out of the house. Thing.
Not 9 miles away.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it was more like 25, something like that. But I was there, and then I remember I failed out of Towson and had to go back, and then my dad was back into like the shitting on me phase, and I was in the band and I was doing that, but then I went back.
Don't forget, there's also probably an element of him that's, you know, feels like he let you down and might not be able to know how to deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, if your kid's flunking out of school, you're taking that on like, shit, what the fuck did I do wrong? Or why is my kid fucking up? You know what I mean?
Well, like, he never had a dad. His dad died when he was, I think, 4 or 5 years old. And my dad's mom was just this, you know, my grandmother was like, I know her as this loving individual, but every time I talk to my mom just says, like, all that my bubby did to my dad, which is just put him down, because she never worked. And so when my grandfather died, she had to go to work and just took it out on the kids, you know. And my dad's sister, either she's on the spectrum like Asperger's or she's flat out has Asperger's, but she's just never gotten married, is literally like isolated herself in this apartment in Pennsylvania. And my dad like actually went on to do stuff, but he made a lot of bad decisions. Like, my dad at one point was an accountant for this huge company making, you know, like a couple $100,000 a year in like the early 80s. And then he left that job and went into sales because he thought he'd be good at sales. And my dad was horrible at sales. So we almost lost our house. We did lose our house. I mean, my dad's friend had to buy the house from us and then rent it back to us so we didn't have to move out. But it was a pretty... like rough.
That's a nice friend.
Very nice. George Whitehouse, if you're out there, man, he was the best.
Mean, you fucking, you're yeah, not going to believe I, it
I,
right
You
now.
Know what? I brought him.
Georgie Whitehouse!
Georgie!
Get you.
Bring that lease agreement in here. Let's take a look at those numbers.
Lease agreement. So, but it was definitely like a rough childhood. Like, I wasn't, but I also, you know, I think one of the reasons I got in trouble was because I was trying to like, just either get attention, or maybe I was just upset at like what, you know, what was going on in the house, you know. And then our families were crazy. Like, we had this like my mom's side, her side of her family was crazy. She has this cousin Sydney who was like my mom's best friend. It was my mom's sister's daughter. They had about like 4 or 5 sons and daughters, but my mom was like the same age with them, you know, because my mom's parents died when my mom was young, so she was raised by my aunt Rosalyn, and Rosalyn's daughter was Sydney, and like
that's a name you don't hear anymore, right?
What, Sydney?
Rosalyn,
yeah.
How about the MOW he just said? Rosalyn's daughter? Shit, that's a fucking movie of the week right there.
Rosalyn's daughter?
Yeah.
So, but no, dude, I want to give you some names. These are all my grandmother and her
all
sisters.
Jewish
and
ladies?
Yes. They're all old. This was all my great aunts and my grandmother. This is their names. My grandmother's name was Blanche. Then you had Gertie. Then you had Paulina. Then you had Mildred. And that was it. So four. But those are all like names
can,
you don't
I
hear
I can roll with that. I had Alma, Gertie.
You had a Gert.
Ruthie, mm-hmm. Lillian.
Yeah, but Lillian's good. Ruthie.
I guess Carmella, Carmina, Marguerite, Helen, Rose, Mary, Constance was my other grandmother. Called her Connie.
Man, we had four or five grandmas.
Josephine.
Josephina!
A lot of them. Just Josephine. These are all same. It's Italian. It's the same shit, different guilt.
Yeah, but my mom's side of the family was just like such a mess. And my mom and her cousin Sydney were like super close. Like they're just like total Jewish yentas. Like they would just, you know, like Sid would come to visit and just sit on the couch with my mom and they just smoke cigarettes and drink wine and just talk shit about people, you know, about other relatives. And they were just complete yentas watching like murder mysteries. And Sid never got married. She always got close to getting married, but she never did. And then when I was like, I don't know, like, fuck, like 13, 14 years old, I'm smoking pot already, hanging out with Tassos and all the guys. And Sid used to come down for Christmas and make these brownies, right? These brownies had like caramel in them and like nougat or whatever the fuck she put in them. They were called Better Than Sex Brownies, right? And that was like Sid's like go-to like holiday dish that she would make for us, right? Well, Sid was going through a breakup once. Like, I think some guy that she was with that owned like a car dealership wasn't
used car dealership?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Selling Berlinettes and shit out
there. Because we, you know, what's funny is like that guy used to, because when we were doing really bad, like my parents couldn't afford to buy a new car. So I forget what his name was. Len, I think, was a guy she was dating.
First of all, never in my entire existence in my home were we ever able to buy a new car. We never once had a new car in my house. Not once.
My dad had one.
My mom didn't get a new car until we were, I mean, honestly, probably 15 years ago was the first time my mom ever had. We got one from Auntie Rue, and Auntie Gert gave us a green. We got a used Ford Tempo. Then we got a used Mercury Cougar or a Mercury Topaz.
Yeah.
Then it was, I don't know, fucking then we're out of the house.
No, same with us. My dad, when he was starting the family, when we had the great, all before it all fell to shit, he got the Honda. It was a Datsun B210 station wagon, brown. And then after it all fell apart, we still had the old school.
Have you been to the Peterson Museum yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been a minute.
Oh, you got to go
again,
man. It's been a few years.
We didn't have a lot either.
And then everything was a used car, like a Ford LTD station wagon, an old beat up F-150 or 100 pickup, purple pickup truck.
You don't have to explain to us that you were poor.
All the people know it, especially when I went Ford back to his hometown. I saw all the
relatives. You got a two-door Escort. Get the fuck out
I saw all the friends and relatives show up, and it was like, it was just.
But
it
they
was
rolled deep,
It
though.
Was Baltimore man. Trash. It was trash people.
They rolled deep.
Especially Shelly.
He met Shannon. I took him. The same junkyard
Shannon,
and everything
right.
Where you are.
Jay, you're 100% right. Salt of the earth. That guy, Shannon, was so much fun to be around. Yeah. Such a good love for life. We had such a good time. But yeah, dude, a lot of Ryan's, I almost got into a fight with one of them, with your brother's, wife
My
was fucking
was
mean
to
me, dude. She was so mean
meaner
to me.
Than your dad?
Nah, I don't think anybody could be as mean as my dad emotionally. So, but
she told him she couldn't believe he was 39 because she was older than him and he looked like shit.
I don't look like shit. I just look.
I'm just trying to be myself up here.
I'm just trying to
just
be
trying
me,
to
baby. Just trying to do me leaning in. I'm leaning in.
We got to keep going here.
All right. Well,
I
so
mean, is there more on there?
Yeah, there are a few more. I mean,
okay. I didn't know if you were segueing.
No, I mean, well, I kind of am. So
before I do, I want to talk about the 500 one more time.
Let me just tell you about my brand.
500podcast.com. So long story short is, so Sydney's making these brownies. She's just gone through a breakup. And like I had gone out to smoke pot with Tassos and Dave Cullen and all of them. And then I showed up at my house and Sid's making the brownies and she hasn't really started melting down the caramel yet. And so like I go up to just to go steal a piece of caramel. So I take one and she's like, hey, get the fuck away from those. Those are the Better Than Sex brownies. So she snaps at me.
Because she's going through some shit.
And I was like, all right, whatever. And then I just grab another one. She goes, what's your fucking problem? I go, shut up, bitch. Dude,
how old are you?
I'm 14. She grabs the butcher knife.
I think your dad had a fucking point.
Pretty much. Like, but she grabs.
He said, listen, honey, I had no luck with him. Get that butcher knife. Show the
kid. Grab that butcher knife.
Oh, shit. What's going to happen? Am I on the clock?
So she grabs the butcher knife and like puts it like up to my chest and then corners me. And then she's like, you fucking asshole. She's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're such a piece of shit. And like screaming at me. And I forget what she's saying, but like my dad's upstairs, like probably watching the Golf Channel. My dad just gets to the top of the stairs. He's in his underwear and then just like runs down. And like he had to pull her off of me. Like,
damn.
Like she's, yeah, she was crazy. She almost killed me, dude. I think that could have been it. Over the better than sex brownies caramel.
She wasn't getting any, man. She needed those brownies.
But then the funny thing is, years later, she got when Roz died, my mom and her like got into this huge argument over a lamp, like a lamp that had just been in the family for years. My mom wanted it, and Sid wanted to like sell it. And my mom's like, no. He's like, I'll buy it. And then Sid brought an antiquer into the house. And
an appraiser,
Huff and Dick.
An antiquer.
An antiquer and appraiser. What's an appraiser? Fucking appraiser. An appraiser. Yeah, he praises amps.
He's an appraisist. Come on, I got an appraisist coming over here in 30 minutes.
But they got into this huge fight because Sid sold that lamp that had been in our family that was supposed to go to my mom. And so then when my mom started arguing with her, Sid just started like all the shit they used to talk to each other about everybody else. Sid just called everybody and told everybody that my mom was the one that said that. And they completely cut my mom off. Like everybody in Pennsylvania, just like my mom's whole side of the family.
Roethlisberger cut her off. I mean,
Roethlisberger. Yeah,
man. Everybody in Pennsylvania, man. Fucking Rooney's cut her off.
Roethlisberger's cut her off. I don't know what's Ben problem is, man.
Hey, man.
Come on, Sim. Problem.
So she was crazy. She was definitely crazy. All right.
I think she kind of had a point with that butcher knife.
I mean, fucking with her better than sex brownies, dude. I don't know.
All right, I'm trying to think of what
my younger brother did that one time.
What's
I don't
that?
Know what he was going through. It was just one of his dumb things being brothers. He's sitting right here to my right. I'm sitting here, and I finished the orange juice, and I said it. I guess he felt like I encroached on his space, and he pushed it here, and I'm not. You know, I'm just eating.
How old are you?
I'm middle school, okay. But he's probably fifth grade.
Yeah, but this is when you. That's all you do with brothers.
Yeah.
You push and push and push.
I slide it, and he slides it back. And I slide it over, and he just fucking grabs his goddamn steak knife. And to this day, I want to ask him, like, what the fuck do you have a steak knife at breakfast?
Steak and eggs.
And he picked it up and did the same thing up against the fucking washer and dryer. Just had like he had had enough, I guess, of being a little brother because that's all we did. We
hide Todd.
We'd hide around the corner and be like, ha! We would do that shit all the time. My dad's like, you're gonna get brain damage. That's what my dad would say all the time about scaring people.
Man, me and David George.
Brain damage.
We used to tease the shit out of my brother, or like torment him. And one time he chased us with the butcher knife, and we hid in the guest bathroom. We locked it, and he was reaching the fucking blade under the door.
Like, this shit.
Like, dude. My boy Dave was like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, this is just every day.
It's just another Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. All right, this is the rest of the stories. Let's do a quick one.
I mean,
one.
You're probably going to finish strong, I would imagine.
All right, so we've got when I went to this rave in Baltimore once, I went with my friends.
You know what's impressing me about this right now? That we haven't tapped all the rave stories yet. By the way, speaking
well,
of
raves. Well, he doesn't remember probably half of them.
I don't remember.
We go when we went back to Baltimore, we tailgated with Jimmy's and their crew. And
super fun. Shout out to everybody.
Yeah,
Jimmy's.
Everybody. They gave us VIP and then they have a warehouse it's an abandoned warehouse, and Josh was walking through it reminiscing because he used to go there. He's raves there. He'd be like, I did cat tranquilizer at this bar right here. This is the tour he's giving me of this place. He's like, I went down a K-hole over there in that fucking kitchen back there by the deep free. Deep free still works. Look at it.
It was crazy. It was crazy to walk around that and see it just being completely empty. And it's like I used to just – I met, you know, my first girlfriend, like real love of my life there. Actually, well, no, we weren't leaving there. This rave was in New Jersey. So me, Jesse, Todd, and Aaron Morrison go up to this rave in New Jersey, and Aaron and Jesse were into a little bit harder drugs than me and Todd. I, at the time, was still just a little like ketamine and a fucking and some ecstasy or coke or something.
What the fuck were they doing?
They were doing like H? They wanted like PCP, like more like so. The whole time up there, they were talking about how they were like, oh, like, we got a buddy up there, so we're just gonna get smoke PCP the whole time we're at this rave, and it was supposed to be cool. I remember like Rob Bass and Easy Rock were performing. In there. It's a really big thing in Morristown, New Jersey, in these two hockey complexes. This is probably 1999, just in case any of the listeners know what I'm talking about. So we go to the rave, and I don't see Jesse and Aaron the whole night. They're gone. Me and Todd are having a good time. What are you laughing
I'm
at?
Just you. I'm just
okay. Like- So we're having a good time. We do some ecstasy, do some ketamine, you know, and then I meet this girl.
What does ketamine do?
It just is like,
well, it tranquilizes cats.
So it numbs you kind of.
It's almost psychoactive. The best way to say it is just like you almost feel like you're in a dream. Like it just makes it. What do you call it? Disassociative. Is that it?
The disassociative property.
Yeah. It's just so you dude. I remember there was one time. I was at a rave. This is actually in a night that a friend of mine wrecked my car. He fell asleep at the wheel of my mom's car, the Honda Civic. But before that,
Original rims.
I was smoking a blunt with a guy, and out on the patio. It was like January in D.C., so there's snow was there. And I remember I'm hitting the blunt, and then he goes, yo, man, here, just do a bump of this K. And I had already been doing K before, but with that blunt, that K, just like it fucked me up so much that when I walked back into the rave, like I literally thought – not only did I think I was dead, but I didn't think I existed. Like I was so – because with the music, just the repetitive music, and then everybody's walking from room to room just like there in like a trance because they're probably on some drugs. It just was the most mind-bending moments of my life. And then later that night, my friend Oscar was driving my mom's car home, and then he fell asleep at the wheel. And then when I woke up, he was like – we were like 2 inches – we were on 270. We were like literally like 6 inches from the Jersey divider. And I grabbed the – he was like hanging over the wheel, and I grabbed the wheel, and I was like, wake up! And then he woke up and then grabbed the wheel and turned it back towards the Jersey divider, and then we just hit head-on. And then
damn.
Hold on.
Because we spun
Hold
around.
Hold on. How did he told him my mom's car. What happened? Well, I yanked the wheel out of him and then he yanked it back.
Well, he was asleep.
I understand, but
that's how it starts.
You guys did it together.
It was a team effort. Thank you. 100%. I'll take that 100%. But so it's just,
I mean, thank God you woke up just in time to wreck your mom's car. Thank God you woke up just in time to help wreck your mom's car.
You should have just stayed asleep.
If he just
can't even stay out of trouble. If he was out of trouble. He was like, I didn't even know I was sleeping. Nah, he had to wake up, rip the wheel out. Guy's face is on it, gets a burn on it.
If he hadn't woken up, he just would have scraped the side and woke up. Like, oh, shit.
We can buff
out. We lost the side view. That's all we got.
And Miss Michelle did not say anything like this was gone.
She probably did.
Wait, what'd you say?
Wait, Miss Michelle,
what about that Jersey? You said something about Jersey. Damn. I guess it was the wall.
Fuckers. So,
so you destroyed that car?
Yeah, I destroyed that car. And then luckily it was like an empty night because there was no
It was an empty night.
It was good, decent people on ketamine or off the road. Jesus Christ.
Fuck yeah.
Man, those feral cats that night, though, they were out. Oh, that ketamine I'll
wake up at the next stop. At the turnpike. I'll wake up at the next turnstop.
He
ripped the wheel out from under his face.
And then he totaled the car.
Wake up.
I whipped the wheel out.
I mean,
wake up. We're about to. I'm going to crash. So that night, actually, when we got
hit, I wish I could just see that in real time, the fucking yank and the yank back in the
It was scary. It was really.
So would you hit and then spin or what?
No, I didn't like rip it like far. I just grabbed the wheel and I was like, yo, man, and I just grabbed it to put us to move us back into the lane, and then he just woke up and like leaned to the right, and then we just went boom, and we just spun around and like went boom, and then just like hit like face forward. So the car, because it was also icy that night too. That was actually one.
See, there it is right there.
And we were doing 95.
Well, you know what else it was? It was icy. And, you know, we was on some ketamine. We were pushing that Civic. It was a four cylinder. It was going 85 miles.
I'll say this though, right? He actually,
you know, when you fall asleep, your gas foot just gets heavy.
Hey, here's the other thing: we left the hatchback up, and we just, I think it kind of took
we
our
thought
wind.
That cold air would keep us awake, you know, but not when you're on ketamine, man.
Yeah, I mean, technically you're off it because you know you're asleep, but.
We put in the K in Turnpike, play.
More like the T, because we did T-bone that fucking divide.
Oh, God damn.
So, luckily, it was icy out that night. And so, or it started icing as soon as we were done with the accident. And so, when we were following a friend to go back to a friend's house to party. And so, he saw that we were, either he saw us get in the accident, or I don't know how, but he just came back.
Oh, you don't know? I would guess maybe he saw a fucking wreck.
I don't know if he saw the fire or...
I don't know.
I don't know. One of our rogue tires rolled up and hit him in the back.
Fucking the original rims. Just like,
maybe the chopper might have alerted him. I'm not sure. But either way, he saw something.
I think the three fire engines maybe tipped him off that something was going on. But he had the whereabouts to come back because he was on 15 grams of cake. Were they fucked up too?
I think so, yeah.
Did the cops show up?
No, they picked us up and then they took
Who
us
did?
Back.
Oh, they
the cops
did.
Never showed up. They came back.
I told you it was an empty
up.
Night.
Empty.
It was empty.
Empty turnpike.
And then they took us back to the house and then I called.
Wait, hold on. Where's the car? Do you pull
we
it
just
off
left
to the shoulder?
No, the car, we just left it there.
Where? In the lane?
In 270, and then we...
But off the shoulder?
It was off to the shoulder already, because it was like one of those big...
Did you
like,
were the hazards work? Did you even have any common sense whatsoever?
Yeah, right.
Whatsoever?
They were really worried about the hazards right then.
Couldn't tell you. I really couldn't tell
I
you.
I was worried about somebody else hitting it.
No,
you know what I mean? You don't see a dark car, and boom.
They know. Nobody hit it. What I did was I called my parents, and then I said, you know, somebody cut me off, and
there
I slipped on
Here
a,
it is.
I slipped on a patch of ice. And the car skidded out, and then we hit the wall. And then I was like, we were following our friend. He picked us up and took us to the house. And then I just showed up at home, and they had the car towed. And then shortly after, we had gotten my parents leased two other cars, like two Hondas.
That was a lease?
That wasn't a lease. They owned that one. But then we got
sucked into leases because their son wrecked their car on Special K.
And then I wrecked.
I met his mom and I hugged her and I said, "It's so great to meet you, and I am so sorry."
That's so mean. That's so mean. But then we got two leases, and they gave me one of them so I could use it. And then 9 months later, I wrecked that one.
Listen, I want to say this real
ice
quick.
Again.
This is the same. This is Josh. This is typical
Not
Josh.
Ice.
So I fly back from Baltimore, and Josh is going to stay back to stay with. For Thanksgiving with his mom. So he's like, "I'm going to rent a car." And I go, "Well, just use your credit card. And then that way you're covered through your insurance, or just get the fucking insurance for a few days." So he calls me after he gets it all. So he's like, "I'm on my way to Eastern Shore. I didn't get the insurance." I'm like, "Okay, you know, whatever." Because they charged me so much for this goddamn
Dude, it was,
car.
It was like almost $500 for
yeah,
like a butt plug with
for
wheels.
How many days?
For a week. But still, like for not this wasn't like
I'm going to say this on a cheap rate. If you were getting $40 a day, which is a cheap rate, that's $280 plus tax and everything. You're going to be around like $360 anyway. So then you
they
know.
Hit them on the holiday week. They
yeah,
saw
they sure
him, saw,
did.
Him, saw him.
They probably pulled up your record.
Miss Cleo,
like,
they, hey, they were. I mean, they missed.
Oh shit! Wait, do I? How much is the car, man? When's it start? Starts now.
So he calls me up. And he's like, "Ryan, I got in an accident with the car."
Shut up.
He did. He was like,
within an hour of having it. Within an hour.
Stressing over that extra insurance. I'm like, just fucking pay it. That shit comes back. Pay it. He didn't pay it. So,
but luckily it was the guy's fault. So,
well, he goes. I go, "Well, whose fault was it?" He goes, "Well, this guy cut me off." I said, "Okay."
No, the guy didn't cut me off. The guy came into my lane.
Why are you doing the throat cut right now?
I don't know what you were about to say. And it's still an active case right now.
Listen,
it's an active case, baby. That's going to be your next album. Josh Admire's active case.
All right, back to your story. If I can't tell that one.
So, So,
listen, baby, I'd love to tell you some more about my past, but I got some active cases under review. I got a couple passports that are in the system right now. I'm trying to get cleared out.
Honey, we traveling? Grab my active case.
Get my active passport over there.
My active passport.
Wait, are we going to Canada?
No.
I got three DUIs. They ain't going to let me up there with these four legs.
All right, so skip ahead to back to the original story, which is me and Jesse and fucking Todd and
Dead Cat.
Aaron. No, this is Dead Cat's not there. Because Dead Cat didn't do drugs like that. Like, Greg, all the people that you've met
name's pretty misleading.
Didn't do drugs like that. I know. Well, like, we smoked weed, but that was about it. But that's why I had my get fucked up friends.
We also did some.
No, we did. No. All of my friends that I grew up with, like the real high school friends, a lot of them, only a few of them really partied. Everybody was pretty straight and narrow.
We used to gnaw on horse hooves.
The fuck does that mean?
Some organic shit.
Gnaw on horse hooves.
That'd be a thing. Watch.
That definitely would. There's people out there licking goat horns. Anything they can do to get high, somebody's trying out right now.
So I had these other group of friends when I turned like 18, 19 that would go to raves and we would just go get fucked up and that was kind of like our thing. And so we go up to this rave in New Jersey and Jesse and Aaron just take off and they go into like their PCP. Like there's like a whole group of people den. Smoking PCP. Yeah. Well, I don't even want to call it a den. It was literally because it was in like two big hockey arenas.
Yeah.
And it was just in a section of the seats, like section a good
316.
Section. No, yeah. Like section 100. Like was down like on the around the rink where like the boards would be. And I meet some girl there, and we have this like great night, and it's fantastic. I hook up with a girl. Todd's hooking up with a girl, and it gets to be about like 5 a.m, and we're like, "Well, let's drive back," because we were going to drive back to Germantown that night. So
of course,
we drove up.
No one's really.
Todd, if I'm almost positive, Todd didn't do drugs.
If like, I'm almost positive, which you ain't.
Yeah, I know. But he might have done something, but I think we let it wear off. And so we get into the car. And first we have to go find Jesse.
Let it wear off.
We get Jesse and we get Aaron.
I mean, I'm talking about ibuprofen over here is wearing off. And
It wore off. It wore off. It's officially worn off.
Is that 2 minutes or 12?
When you hear the bong, it's worn off. So I remember we go get Jesse and we go get Aaron and they're just like fucked up out of their minds, like creepy fucked up. Like they're making noises like.
Remember the dude on speed that kept servicing us at tailgate?
Oh, yeah. There was a guy, guy that worked at Jimmy's.
He kept getting worse and worse. He was on some kind of speed, but he was so sweet and so nice. And he was one of those people, you know, like when you're a little fucked up or whatever and you shouldn't be, so you're trying to over-service. Like, you guys need bottles of water? And he's sweating and the jaw's going. And we're like, nah, man, we just need you to live, dude. We're good over here, man. But he was like,
He was like, well, we got off work at 2 and then I didn't clock out till 3. And when I got home, I just took an Adderall and I've just been rocking that all night. So he's
that's what that dude said.
So that's what he said. But
that's the new thing everybody's on Adderall.
Funny because like before he even started, he told us that. I look over at Ryan and I go, oh, that dude's fucked up on something. Like, I mean, I know
it was a ghost of Christmas past walked in there. So Josh could see what he used to look like in that building.
I can tell
we were in that building.
I can tell when people are on certain drugs.
I would imagine.
I'm pretty. Yeah.
I got a pretty good LaCroix.
I know you do.
LaCroix. It's gonna be the last crack. The last crack on the crab feast. One final LaCroix. All right. So we find Jesse and we find Aaron. They're in their PCP den in section 101, and we get them and like they're making these weird noises. Like
speaking of 101, that's gonna be the episode of Michael Jackson's Thriller.
So we finally get them and we get them into the car and we get immediately onto the New Jersey Turnpike and like as we're driving.
What time do you think this is?
I mean like 5 a.m, 5:15-ish, I feel, and it's like the sun's coming out and
it's coming out.
Oh god, dawn.
It's dawn. And You still. All you hear is just you just hear some noises in the back, like, and they're both like growling and making these weird noises.
Like gremlins.
Yeah, like gremlins.
Soap salt, bath salt shit.
And so fucking Todd is driving his fucking Toyota Camry, like one of the big ones. And then fucking he's going like 90 miles an hour, right? And then the next thing, all of you. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's 100% right.
But then suddenly you see the lights come on from a cop, right? And we get pulled over, right?
So there's four of you?
Four of us in the car.
Well, I mean, five, you count as four legs.
I mean, it is two extra legs.
Five of us.
Four and a half.
There's four and a half of us in the car. Three humans and one centaur. One centaur. And then two of them are on PCP.
Yeah.
And so the cop walks up and we just tell everybody, like, Todd's like, just be cool, everybody. And Todd starts rolls down the window and is like, hey, officer. And then as soon as the officer starts talking, you just hear out of the back,
oh my God. Should have cat tranquilized them quick.
I thought you should have done.
And the cop keeps looking behind, right?
Is it a guy?
To the guys,
or
yeah.
To a cop. Is it a man or a woman?
Oh, it's a guy cop. Black dude.
By himself?
By himself. And he...
Is he flashlighting in?
I mean, I could only imagine, the looks that he had on their faces.
Got that big trooper hat with that band that goes way down here. It's all weird and sits up.
And dude, the cop was just, he just gave us a warning. But, the whole time we were in the car, as he's going through the warning, he's like, you're not going to have to come to court.
And you guys are going to... Is it audible for him, do you think?
I mean, unless he was deaf, everybody, the whole time, that's all I can hear is just...
He might have been a good Christian man, scared to death in there right now.
He was like, I'm just going to let you guys go. And then he does the fucking adios mio on his head. And then we just got home, and then that was it. But it was just the growling in the back of the car was definitely...
Man, that was a fucking hell of a story.
That's your final one.
Well, no, I thought you guys were going to...
Wait, what's the end of the story, Josh?
It sounds
like
a thing.
This got to be the end of the story.
It's a great story. I thought that was funny. Do we have time for one more? Or all right. Fuck. Trying to think of the good one. PCP rave is already done. I just did Oscars crash. I did Sid, A Cal Ripken Story, Michael Kenneth Williams. All right. This is when I first moved to LA. I was trying to tell this on the last one.
He and I are both on the Wall of Fame at Jimmy's, by the way. Omar.
It's so dope. We had such a good time there, man. I think they took probably, I think I spent $400 on crab.
We ate so much crab.
So they got their money back.
Totally.
So I was trying to tell this on the one where I was talking about how I got to Los Angeles. So when I moved to L.A., I was working for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was also
when they almost clipped your front fucking leg.
He was keeping up with them. That's four it. Legs. That's what he's doing. That's the only way to keep up with them. And four legs.
I was working for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and because of the DUI that I had gotten in front of my parents' house, the year before, that December before.
I moved there in January.
Because this was actually
a month ago.
No, not this time. But there was, when I got the last DUI, which I got in front of my parents' house, they made me put a breathalyzer in my car. And then I was supposed to be in for about a year.
And that's the only way it would start.
It was the only way it starts. So if you have any trace of alcohol in your breath, your car won't start.
That's
right?
Why my friend would have his kid do it.
So, but it's just a whole way of doing it. You have to put it in your mouth weird, and you have to go like, ooh. There has to be a hum.
Do that
gurgle
the guys in the
it.
Back seat were doing.
You don't just blow in it. So what had happened was I'm working for Keeping Up the Kardashians, and the first few months that I worked on the first season, I was just drinking every night and doing coke because I thought that was how to fit in Los Angeles. All the people I was hanging out with drank and did coke, my cousin and all of his buddies. So I was just, and like I said before, I was such a, I never learned how to drink. And it's the only way I could drink is I'd drink until I blacked out. So that's why I did coke, so I could just stay aware. And there were so many times that while I was working that I had to call one of the other PAs to come pick me up because the breathalyzer wouldn't start in the morning if I still had any kind of alcohol in my breath, right? So my production manager, Javier Quintana,
Javier Quintana.
Javier Quintana.
Man, I'm so glad we planned ahead.
Javier Quintana!
Let's get jazz out here, JQ.
Bring your brother Carlos in all nine positions, baby.
I don't know who Carlos Quintana is.
Oh, I'm Short thinking stop. Of Jose Oquendo. Carlos Quintana, I think he played first base. I don't know.
So
I've never heard that name.
So Javier really liked me, and he was like, he lived up off of like Broadlawn Road, like behind, like up in the Hollywood Hills, like more the Ventura side. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So he rented a house with like three other guys, this big mansion, and he was like, yo,
where?
Up in Hollywood.
In Hollywood or in?
Well, it's
is it off Barham?
It's going to be the
Do you know where the Nissan dealership is on Ventura? That's, like the one that's like over right next to the 101.
It's yeah,
right
everything's by, Ventura's.
That's the one. It's right where Ventura turns.
Yeah,
into
where
Kauai
the In-N-Out is.
Universal
yeah, it's
City
right
Nissan.
Around there. It's
where, up where in your the hills? Job is your credit.
Yeah, it's up in the hills.
You don't go up Barham?
No, I take because my spiritual guide lives in that area, so I got I take Broadlawn. I go off Ventura, off to Broadlawn. But yes, I do take Barham, the exit. I thought you meant is it off of Barham?
No, because I lived in a house up there, and it used to be a bunch of guys that did this exact kind of work. They were all like production guys on reality stuff. I lived with them, and you went
party there with.
Yeah,
them.
Came up around. It was on Monroe, and you go all the way up, and we were right up there, and we looked out on the back lot.
Cross over the Falcon. If I got it right, first cross over the freeway, first left, wind up, and it was at the top of the hill on the left.
That's
Falcon happened at that birthday party.
That's right.
Kate gave me the shirt. Remember?
Yeah.
So you might be them. Do you know Javier Quintana?
I do not.
Okay. So Javier had a party, right? And he invited me, and I was
how many living rooms?
Oh, I don't even know. Okay. It was a huge house with a jacuzzi and like the funny thing is I drive by it all the time now, and either the house was what do they call it?
Remodeled?
Yeah, I was about to say reinvigorated.
Listen, it's a fourth dude that's been reinvigorated.
I got a brand new company where I'm reinvigorating your home.
So, but I can't see it anymore. Like, I can't remember for the life of me where the house is, but I remember it's in that area. So, I before the party, I ask him if there's going to be drugs there. He goes, there'll be drugs there. He goes, but bring whatever you want so, you know, you can, you know, just make sure you have it. So, I went to my Coke dealer. I stocked up on some blow. I show up at the party, dude, and it's my first, like, really big
you
fun.
You want to stock up.
Yeah, you got to show up.
Well, I liked, when I had drugs, especially Coke, I used to share a lot, you know, because I've always been the guy that's like, I'll give. So I want people to like me. So I'm like, here, just have some Coke.
Very generous with
my, you know, and I had the Coke, and I show up and I drive my Jeep that has the breathalyzer there, knowing that I was like, I'll probably just take a cab home and come back in the morning. And I party all night. I ended up doing some ecstasy too. And I'm like one of the last people awake at the party. There's people like passed out on couches on the floor. And I'm just like walking around. And then one of his roommates like gave me an ecstasy pill. And I take that again. And then I'm just like so fucked up. And he just drives me home. Right. And so the next day at about 6, 7 p.m., I get in a cab. And I drive up to go get my car, right? And as I get in the car to start my car, I asked the cab driver, I was like, hey, man, just wait here for a second because my car might not start and I might need to go back home or figure something out. And so
So if you blow in it and it doesn't start, is that a strike against you because you tried?
Yeah,
is that
well,
the way,
that's the thing.
Does
is
it register?
That, yeah, it's like if they send something back, it all registers and it goes back. You get like one warning or you get a couple warnings or something. They'll give you like a warning and then maybe give you another warning. If you do it again and it fails, like then I think that goes back to the judge. But that would have been the judge.
That was the most. I think you could do again. You get a warning if you don't get that. But if it fails, then it goes back.
You
and
get that fail.
It recircumferences.
You're back in prison. I mean court.
Totally.
Not court. I mean counseling.
I mean community service.
So I get in my car. I bro in the breathalyzer. I blow
man,
in the breathalyzer.
When you bro in a breathalyzer,
you bro in it, man, that's
you got it. That's real, baby.
That's tough when you're bro.
She gave me
it.
A bro job. Gave me a bro job.
That's when your buddy just high fived you.
A bro job. So I blow in the breathalyzer and it warns, which means that it won't.
What's
pass.
It beep? Or
it just
something?
Goes. You know, it comes up yellow.
It's like when his aunt said, "Get your hands off that fucking camera."
Puts a knife to your chest.
Pretty much what happens.
God damn! I guess it's not ready.
So. So I get out of the car when it warns me, and I go up to the cab driver. I'm like, hey man, I was like, so I have a breathalyzer in my car, and it won't start because I got alcohol in my breath. Would you mind? I'll pay you $20. Do you mind blowing into my breathalyzer and starting my car, and then I'll just jump in? Like, I'll be sitting in it, and as soon as it beeps, I'll, because you only have like 5 minutes to get from before it beeps again, and then you have to blow into it while you're driving.
Oh, you have to be driving? What do you mean?
You have you're driving, so you have to keep blowing.
You have to blow into it again, because they could figure somebody would start your car for you.
Gotcha.
Or people will fucking drink and drive. You know, they'll take the little minis, and once it's started, they'll be banging them. I'll have to blow in it again.
There's only one way I want this fucking story to end. We'll see what happens, but there's only one way I want it to end.
So the guy's this big Armenian guy. He doesn't really speak perfect English that well either. And I'm like, hey, man, so will you...
Like we do.
Yeah.
Or him.
I was like, hey, man, can you bro in this for me? And I say to the guy, I'll give you $20.
Bro or blow.
If you blow into this breathalyzer, I'll give you $20. And he's like, okay. And he gets up there, and he blows in the breathalyzer, and it fails.
Oh.
He had been drinking.
Now, did it fail?
Oh, it didn't fail.
But it didn't fail. It didn't fail. We're going to record. It was just another strike. So I had one more still remaining. And so then I just got in the cab and went back to my house and then went and picked it up the next morning. And that is my final story.
I wanted you to get in that car. I mean, have him in it, him blow it, you start up, time. And then,
he drives
then you're trying
him.
To jump yeah. in, you crashed it. That's all I wanted. That car to crash so bad.
No, it's, that
Jeep. He crashed my car.
This guy crashed me, he fell asleep at the wheel.
He crashed my car, man.
That Jeep was such a special car, man. It's like, I'd still probably have it if the drunk driver never took that one out. Like, that car was incredible. And, you know, it's funny because I've listened to all the episodes I've done. You know, and it's like all of these stories were things that used to weigh on me.
Oh, sorry, Josh, man. I just
got another excruciating bill.
Oh, sorry, man.
I had to fight my dad over this one. He ain't talked to me the same.
Excruciating.
What's excruciating?
It's excruciatingly painful.
I didn't hear the X. I just heard, oh, it's excruciating. But what I was saying is all of these stories that I've told, man, like I used to like, if it wasn't for this podcast, like I don't know if I'd probably still be holding on to them. And, you know, because of what you guys have created, I've been able to take them and entertain people with them. And I mean it like from the bottom of my heart to the two of you guys. I think two of you guys are two of the funniest guys I've ever met. And I'm just like, I really feel lucky that I've been able to
hold on. Those angry tears, because I don't want to get my ass whooped, just like your pops. You know what I mean? Shit,
they're sad tears, man. Fuckers.
Donging while he's crying.
You fuck.
Just like the moment in Baltimore, we had another crier.
You know, but it's like it's just like because of you guys, man. I've been able to like really connect with people.
Josh has been taking acting classes, guys.
Nah. I have been, but
I know it.
No,
but
I appreciate it, man.
I mean it. I mean
how much it means.
I mean it. Like this, like I'm a feaster, man, and you know, just knowing that this is stopping, it sucks, dude. I'm trying to cry a little bit too because I love you guys, man.
You don't need to.
I wanted to do it for the feasters.
Happy birthday to you.
He wanted to cry for the feasters. What's wrong with you?
I love him.
Oh, man.
I love him so much,
man. Well, look,
man,
I would like to say this to you. You have come on, even though Jay did not want you on. Absolutely did not at first. I had to fight and claw to get you on, and I said, I believe he'll deliver. I've been wrong a few times. But every time.
How many people have been like, I'm telling you, Josh, Jay Miles will deliver.
Yeah, right? How many people have... Thank you, Jay. Tell him how many people have ever said that about him.
Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people said it once. Back in the day.
I missed the riff. I'm a little confused of why I'm being shit on.
No, that's what I'm saying. But listen, going all the way back to Classic Crab Feast, when we did the live benefit, speaking of the Jeep and the accident for you and Angelo and You know, you've always, through the years, you've been coming on 7 years. You've come on strong every time. And I appreciate you bringing it because I, you know, like I said, I had to work to get you on here, but you did what you needed to do.
Not
and then
to mention,
Jay welcomes you with open arms now.
I know. And
you also, the reason you were so great is because you always came on and just were yourself. That
was
right. The thing.
That's right.
We've had people come on that just weren't themselves because they didn't know how to just settle in, and you were always willing to be vulnerable, willing to be open, willing to fuck with yourself, you know what I mean? Fuck with us.
Laugh at
always.
Yourself, all that, yeah.
First of all, my first introduction to Josh Adam
Swiping
Myers was
tears right now,
that
for
show
real.
Where after 2 minutes I had to fucking pull myself off. That was the only reason. Remember, you were like, oh, you gotta go see this guy. No, Josh, he runs this show over at the fucking Bootleg. The Bootleg.
Oh, whatever. The very first.
Yeah.
The very
so that's
first
when you
time
were like,
back at the unknown.
I want to have Josh. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah. The fucking guy from the fucking band show. With the guy was, you know.
But it's like, it's.
So that's the only reason I was like.
I hear you.
Aren't you guys glad
Lots,
that?
I mean.
You
glad
that
there was
he,
this other one.
That's the only reason.
Well, then there was this one time.
No, but it's just this podcast, not just from me being on it, just means so much to me. It's really. It's great. Sorry.
No, the other thing too, man. When you
fucking cry,
he is crying.
I think it's funny that you say your dad wasn't good at sales because I feel like you're a really good salesman. You're really.
I mean, except for this cry pitch right here, you want to do for the speakers, but I...
it's not a cry pitch. I mean it. I'm like getting
I'm
choked
trying,
up
because I'm trying for you.
It.
He said for us because
I know this is it, man.
This isn't
I know.
It.
This no, ain't
know,
a rom com, bro.
This is not it. That's what I'm saying. This is
it's
not. This is
it.
A celebration.
It's not it.
This
it's
is
not,
not
it.
A funeral.
I gotta disagree, man. This is it.
This is it.
Listen, I'm going to have to beg to differ on this, man.
Nah, yeah, you're right. This is it,
man. I don't want to praise the situation.
Well, we got to leave that to Ronnie Huffendig about praising anything.
No, I just, I know, listen, I'm excited about the through line. I'm excited about the honeydew.
The through
but
line.
It's just, that's what it's called.
Through line.
Through line, that's what I said.
Yeah, I know, but it sounded like through line.
I heard lawn.
The through line. Yeah. No. But it's and I'm excited about both of that and I'm but while you guys should really like take a minute to be proud of what you guys created like you
we're
guys,
very proud of it.
I'm
know,
taking longer than a minute.
You know what I mean? It's like, dude, you've changed people's lives. You made their drives every morning better and their drive home, their fucking travel.
Not that drive home with you and that guy. Wish you could have been there.
Hopefully
then,
we can help put you to sleep at the wheel, y'all. Well,
but,
thank
no,
you for
but,
coming
you know,
on.
Hold on a sec. I do. I mean, I know that we have to go, but there's the last thing I wanted to say, Josh.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Hang on.
Sorry, man.
Did the clock start?
Fuck you.
No, man. I love you, buddy.
I love you, too.
You work so hard, bro. That's something. You know, when he remember that first podcast he was working on? You did, like, test runs. You, like, challenged. You know what I mean? Like, some people just dive in. You don't. You work at it.
Yeah,
you test
well,
it out.
I did those tests. I recorded 4 times for one episode of the 500.
I did. No, but I'm saying that's you're a perfectionist in ways that people might not think. You put a lot of effort and care into what you put out, and it shows. You know what I mean?
Thanks, man.
Not on stage so much. no, man, but I love you, and I wish you the best with your podcast and everything else. You know, I'm sure we're going to see you around.
I know.
I mean,
it's not the end of us being friends at all.
No, but what I like about this, the arc for you on the Crab Feast specifically is...
the arc for you.
There is an arc where you went from your accident...
Man, you really...
went from your accident to we sold a series to Comedy Central together... you know, you started.
Then you got cut out of it, man. You got a lot of different.
Waited to the second to last app to promote your podcast on the podcast that gave you a fan base. The Feasters love you, so you've come a long way.
I mean, but it's really you've seen how much I've grown from that first episode
you do
to
work.
Now. It's that like I've really care about you know this, and I really care about what we're doing, and it's a lot
I
of it
care
was
about
because
500, which is available.
Yeah, so go ahead, quickly promote your last show.
I'm dicking around because I don't want you to have to go. I don't want this to end because I know I'm going to be
I got to go
car.
To my daughter's Christmas
I know,
recital,
but I'm going to be in the car and I'm going to be like, no, just why didn't you just tell me?
Come
one
on
more
the honeydew and say it.
100%.
You're probably not going to be on the through.
There might be a hobby.
Yeah, I know.
100%,
hey, I'm not
dude.
Cutting. I'm not ruining
wait till
it out.
Wait to hit that cat tranquilizer episode, bro.
Yeah, man.
You know,
when
hit, man.
When I start doing Special K. Sorry, man. We just
you could do underground raves. You could do the new rave and the old rave.
You know what I mean?
I mean, there's something there. You guys can follow me at Josh Adam Myers on all social media and the500podcast.com. Subscribe, rate, review, guys. Join the movement. That's what I'm calling it.
Join the movement that Rolling Stone started.
You know, all the promotion I've done for my album on podcast and radio combined didn't add up to the amount of time he just spent on this podcast telling us about the 500. All of them combined didn't do that.
I know, but I
well, you're welcome. Where else? Come
man,
on.
People finished the Indianapolis 500 before his promo.
I'm trying not to be have a relationship with my daughter like you have with your dad.
That's it.
I got to get 500podcast.com,
joshadammyers.com. I love you guys so
love
much.
You
thank
too.
You
love
for
you
thank you for having me on and changing my life. I appreciate
you're
you.
You got it, buddy. Nice. Very appreciative. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
Go ahead.
I just want to hit one final pitch touch with you guys when you're done.
What?
After you're done introducing, you doing your shout outs, can we do a
let's just pitch? Wrap this up.
I'm
we'll
wrapping
talk about
this up. Like, people don't touch pitches with us.
This is it. There's no more.
This is it. Make the mistake where you want it. This is it. That's probably was
the wedding is over.
I was just trying to wake them up.
This is it.
That's Tuesday's gone.
Hey, save that. It's next week. All right, y'all. First of all, I love you, and you've
I
come
you
on
so
and crushed,
much.
And you've been consistent. You are hands down the most requested guest. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you for that. I can't say that sit and say that to every guest, but you come on.
Sometimes you can't even stand.
Can't even stand to say it. Our fucking fans have anointed you the most requested Crafties guest, and I'm happy that you were able to get that. Because
thank you.
There were a lot of people that didn't want you to come back on. You know, not all of them.
You're our only four-legged comedian.
You're the
man.
Only one, bro. I love you. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.